right. We are live today here on the American Journal. Thank you for joining me. You know, I wanted to take this time to just look back at where we were 5 years ago around this time. Here it is.
Alex Jones.
I don't think that's a clip, man.
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is the unlock.
Information war. I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good. I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content?
It is the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, a legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we are live. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. And make a little audio adjustment there. Welcome to The American Journal. This is my last... final day hosting this show, for the, you know, for the visible future. Brianna Morello will be back tomorrow. And what I wanted to do, we actually, the system bumped and played the wrong clip. You hit one and it jumped to the other one. Sometimes it does that. but I found this perusing the internet, and I think I commented, I said, people are going to think this was bad AI in 10 years, this clip. But what this is where we were 5 years ago in our world. It was 2020. You know, I don't know if this was November 2020, but around this time, this thing appeared. And so I just want to remind you where we were and then where we are today. So we're going to watch. Here's where we were. Here it is.
Dr. Fauci,
if I had to suffer,
give us vaccines, help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
I'll take a bow. Isn't that sweet?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, in the future, people are going to look at that and go, was that AI? Like, no, there's no way humans did that, like got together and did that. It had to be done with an AI computer with a sick sense of humor. But no, that was actually humans trying to psyop other people into taking vaccines. Now, let's fast forward to 5 years. Here's a lady, you know, going through a basic medical procedure, and it looks like they're pulling a giant clot out of her arm, and she's admitting to taking the Pfizer vaccine. Here it is.
Oh, okay. We're getting a clot out of her outflow vein.
Totally normal.
Look at that. You said you had the Pfizer vaccine, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That could be the spike protein, hydrogel clots.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
How do you feel getting that out?
So good.
It's a relief, right?
Oh, my God. All right. Get them a lot.
Flight to California from Canada, it's all worth it. All right.
So there it is. You can see the little picture there. If you bring up that still again, show people. This is what they're pulling out of people today. Okay. No, that's not it. Like I said, there's some glitches going on this morning. It's these weird systems. They're trying to think for you is how I discuss these systems, but it's interesting. So what happened over the weekend? Well, once again, my suspicions were confirmed. Our government hates us and wants us dead. That's basically what I could say. I don't think it matters what administration, at this point, where we're going. They don't want to tell us anything. They want to lie to us. And I'm going to get to that later. And, you know, now there's a Trump, a MAGA civil war brewing, I guess is what they're saying, with MTG and Donald Trump. I'll read those texts out in case you missed them over the weekend, although you probably saw them because it was everywhere. I couldn't get away from it. To me, it's just from what I think happened. Well, I'll tell you about that later. We'll read the text and I'll tell you what I think happened to the whole, how that thing rolled out. And maybe that could be patched. I mean, we've seen Trump and Elon patch things up. So I think this can totally be patched up. But going on with, so we just saw this video of the lady getting the clot pulled out of her. And there's been talks of DNA being found in these vaccines. So I'm going to go to two clips real quick. These are from Jessica Rose. Dr. Jessica Rose was at a conference in Austin last week. And this is a real short clip, but just talking about how in every single vial they tested, they found DNA that wasn't supposed to be there. You know, because, well, when you're making billions and billions of vaccines, well, it leaves the whole system ripe for contamination, either accidental or on purpose. You know, it just happens to be the same contaminant that they put in the vaccines back in the polio shot in the 50s, though. Just, okay, just so you know that. That's what it happens to be. But here's Dr. Jessica Rose talking about it. And then we're going to look at some of the results. And it's interesting. It's PCR stuff. So we could see what they were doing when they were testing people for the PCR for COVID back in 2020. And then what they're finding now with way less cycles. But here's the first clip.
We investigated whether or not there was DNA, not mRNA, DNA in the Pfizer and Moderna vials that we tested. And in every single vial that we tested, we found loads of DNA, way over the EMA limits that are established. We're talking about lipid nanoparticle encapsulated DNA. And the modus operandi of these things is to traffic to cells and get inside and dump whatever payload they're carrying, be it RNA, nucleoside modified RNA, siRNA, or DNA.
So there you go. Hey, you know, everyone we found, Moderna, Pfizer, doesn't matter, tested with DNA. So now we're going to go, this is basically a computer screen. In fact, you guys could come over my shoulder real quick and I'll explain to what people are looking at before we go to it. Let's see. Let's get the pen here. So, tell me when you're there and we will, we got to, this is basically showing the different DNA readouts. So these are PCR cycles and I think this is about 9 or 10 right here. So you can't really read it there. And this is like 40 up here. This is what they would normally do to find COVID. They would run it 40 cycles. So they would overcycle it. And then they're like, oh, we found COVID in you right here, over here. But here they're finding DNA in the Pfizer vaccine. So that's what this is representing. So we're going to go to it and then you're going to see what the difference is between 40 and 10. It's a lot. I mean, it's millions of times worse. And the worse you go is this way. So back in the day, if they ran it 10 cycles, they wouldn't have found COVID. But if they run it 40, oh, then it shows up. So then they were getting these high test scores. But let's just look at this. This is about the DNA in the vaccine. So here it is.
Tenfold diluted, so you have to take and move it 3 CTs over.
Look at that.
But that's the hottest lot we've ever seen.
Explain to everyone in the universe why.
Typically, like if you remember the speaker paper, these CTs were coming out of like 20. 10 CTs is 1,000-fold difference.
What does that mean
difference.
To the people who don't know what this means?
This means the vials that you guys have from Japan are maybe 500 to 1,000 times more concentrated than what we had in our paper. In terms of how much DNA is there?
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically, for the real layman, the earlier you see these lines come up on this axis here, the more DNA you have, the hotter the lot.
Yeah, so this is coming up. Maybe it's not 10. Maybe that's coming up at, that's a 15 cycle. So that's probably.
Yeah, but it's still 11.
It's probably come at 11. And we tenfold diluted these, so that's going to back the all the way back to like an 8, CT of 8 on DNA. For, you know, for those not familiar with this, they were calling people positive for virus in your nose.
So they're diluting the vials. They're not even testing like a full load. They're diluting the vials, and they're getting those readings earlier on, 10 and 11. I think they said that earlier one was 11, but because they're diluting it, it should be about an 8 if you take into account the dilution. Here we go. Let's continue.
He's out at 35.
Well, in Atlantic provinces, it was 45.
Jeez. Yeah, so yeah. We're talking about...
I have the piece of paper that they circulated.
This, so they find
this
three.
Here, this is a million-fold more concentrated as an injectable contaminant than the virus they're calling people positive for.
Are you guys people... are you understanding what we're showing here? Like,
oh, so blue spike.
These were sealed... vials.
These are untouched by anybody. Yeah, you guys... We have video of you guys cracking the seals on those, okay? So that's the spike signal for that lot. That is, I think you guys did them in duplicate, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So that might be a little bit off because you guys did a multi-channel P10 pipetter. So you might see an offset, a slight offset like this, because you did two different shots in there. And
are my dupes
now
good?
Over here, this is.
My dupes are good.
Yeah, we don't need to look at Sci-5 right now. I think we're looking at Texas Red right there. Okay, so that is...
Oh, they're very good.
That's the SV40 region. Moving down. What happened to that guy?
Oh,
there. Oh, it's Moderna. That's where they are.
Oh, no.
No, it's expected. Moderna has no SV40.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. It's SV40. That's great.
Yeah,
made you think
like you screwed up, didn't I?
Yes.
I had you there.
Yes. But now I'm relieved because.
But if you go down here, you'll see you're getting not a problem with spike. Now, this is something we also saw in speaker. The speaker paper, right? And in Moderna, this is one of those lots that has this much offset between spike and the vector. Why? This region of the plasmid digest, this one region does not digest because there's a shitload of RNA there.
Yep.
And that RNA protects that DNA from getting destroyed. The enzyme they're using cannot destroy DNA-RNA hybrids. So they're measuring over here to pass the test.
That's right.
And the EMA is too fucking stupid to know that if they measured over here, they would be over the limit. This is how retarded the EMA is. Say that again. Retarded. They're getting away with measuring here. And now the thing that's crazy about this, if you go through the EMA documents, Pfizer has an assay for spike, but they will not use that to measure the DNA.
That's correct.
Yes.
I actually learned that recently.
And this is why they're not using it, because if they did, they would be failing by orders of magnitude,
and
they're letting them use this.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So Moderna tends to do that once in a while, is they have like, you know, a big offset between spike and ORI.
Interesting.
Right there. In fact, there's probably, let's see what the Pfizer's doing. The Pfizer's offset too. Yeah, Pfizer's got an offset between spike and ORI as well. So they're getting the same game that's happening. And then you get up into the SV40s and you only see this in the Pfizer stuff. So you can quickly scan through here and be like, Pfizer. No, wait, Pfizer. Moderna, Pfizer.
So they're looking at the DNA and the contaminated DNA, some of which is SV40, some of which is not. Then they're looking at spike protein and looking at the differences between spike protein and DNA, and you can see the offset. First you're hitting the DNA, then you're hitting the spike protein. And that's what people were putting into their body, and now they're pulling clots out. So, you know, once again, we told you a long time ago, of course, don't put those things into your body because they can't – they're not being tested right, and they're not being created right, and it was done on purpose. So now I want to move to kind of what a continuation of what we were talking about on – Friday, we had the farmer on from New Jersey, the hemp farmer. This is the, let's see. I don't even know if this clip is in here. Probably not. No, it's probably still on my drive. Well, we're not going to go to that unless y'all can find this. Yeah, I'm just looking at this now. I don't see it on here. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go look at where this is, like, kind of a Whitney Webb warning people what's going to happen with RFK Jr. This is an older clip, I think from 2019, 2020. No, it had to be later than that. It had to be later than that. I don't know. But what has happened is the deputy. So, you know, Todd Blanch is the deputy DOJ head over at, you know, the Department of Justice. He's the deputy director. So he basically gets to run the DOJ. Pam Bondi's sort of like a figurehead. She goes on TV. She's in charge of everything. She signs off on everything, but she's not running it. And so RFK Jr., same thing. He's running it. And when he sees stuff and he catches wind of stuff, he's able to fix it, which is why we're here to tell him about these things. But he's got the guy underneath him, Jim O'Neill, who was appointed by Trump, who's sort of a, you know, a creature of the pharma companies. And that's why you're seeing, you know, stuff like, oh, we're going to give people cheaper Ozempic instead of, you know, well, I guess they are revamping the food pyramid as well, but we're also giving people cheaper Ozempic instead of getting rid of the COVID shots and investigating Fauci for what he did. But here's Whitney Webb warning people back in the day that we needed to watch out for who's going to be the deputy director of the HHS. Here it is.
Well, you have to wonder why Trump decided to appoint RFK Jr. as head of HHS and then appoint Jim O'Neill as the deputy HHS secretary, because, yes, it absolutely does seem to conflict rather jarringly. And the fact that O'Neill in his position, if confirmed, would be managing the day-to-day operations of HHS, including what the FDA does, what the CDC does, and things of that nature, he could easily undermine any sort of MAHA policy that RFK tries to impose.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. He'd be undermining everything he does. You'd have somebody sort of gatekeeping and not allowing... We know these chiefs of staff... Right. I mean, they keep things from the president, right, all the time. So he might not even be aware that someone was trying to meet with him.
Yes.
To raise a red flag concern. If he's doing that in this role at HHS, then RFK Jr. might not be aware of certain things. I don't know.
Yes.
It's really troubling.
Exactly. And also the chief of staff that was appointed to essentially manage, you know, RFK's portfolio, who's going to be the chief of staff for him, is a woman named Heather Flick, who was previously played a major role in HHS under Trump's previous HHS secretary, Alex Azar, who is a former head of Eli Lilly, a major pharmaceutical company, and has sort of been blamed for some of the big pharma patronage that happened in the you know, early COVID-19 era before the Biden administration came in. And, you know, she's essentially been framed as someone that will keep, you know, basically babysit RFK Jr. At least that's sort of how the Wall Street Journal recently framed it. And what exactly does that mean when you combine her appointment?
Okay. We're going to restart. I would say go ahead and restart it, and I'll just, you can just keep me on camera one. Yeah. So what happens sometimes is the glitches lead to, you know, it's, I wonder if it had anything to do with the forensic, audit that was going on here. Yeah. Interesting. So as part of the, this happened before. They had a same guy, actually, same company that comes in and has to, I guess, from the court, grab all the information on all the computers, was here last week. And he did, I think he did this studio Friday afternoon. And now we're having glitches. So isn't that interesting? So we better tell the other guys, they better check stuff and run through things a couple times in the other studios, because that's probably going to carry over everywhere else. So, very interesting. So in the second hour, let me just tell you what's coming up. In the second hour, we're going to have Julio Rosas. He's in Mexico. I don't think we have the footage right now, but you might have seen it over the weekend of the different clashes going on. We even caught, I think Julio caught on camera a actual nut punch that happened to a Mexican, police officers. I'm not sure what these guys are. Guards. Here's the nut punch. There it is right there. Ow. I mean, The people are pissed. These are anti-Sheinbaum people. Sheinbaum, you know, that's a Mexican name, right? Sheinbaum? That's just weird. So he's going to be on. He was boots on the ground talking about he's going to give us a full rundown of what's going on in the second hour. And in the third hour, I want to play a couple clips. People have been doing audits. You know, citizen journalists have been doing their own audits of TPUSA, just looking at it, see what's going on. And they're finding like four different companies, and they're some companies have no employees, but they get a bunch of money, and they haven't filed the proper tax paperwork yet. It looks like Charlie Kirk was probably, and I'm speculating, I'm 100% speculating, he was probably murdered because he asked too many questions into the finances of where everything was going. And I think that's what happened. I don't think his knowing the Bible front to back and being quick on his feet weren't act at all. I think he was that genuine type of person, and they needed that type of person to be the figurehead of this group. But you know, it shows that they were getting rid of a lot of employees, but also getting higher payroll costs. So there's definitely something going on with that. And I think Candace kind of alluded to that in her post, you know, saying, you know, Charlie was betrayed by everyone. And I don't think it had anything to do with Israelis necessarily, unless they're the ones laundering the money through there. But it looks like there's probably some money laundering going on. I hate to say it. But when I look at, you know, I watched Tucker's expose on Thomas Crooks over the weekend, and it's not even, you watch that and you're like, well, this information could be shared with the American people. Okay. The guy was, you could look at his posts. He was actually very right wing in his posts. You could see but that could have been an act too. He's saying things like, you know, hang Ilhan Omar and hang who, Robert Mueller, and we should line the Democrats up and shoot them. Stuff like that. Stuff you would expect a Fed to say, honestly. If you were, you know, gonna typecast somebody as a Fed, that's the kind of things the Fed would say online with their name, you know, not a fake name. You know, Tom Crooks was the name he had in YouTube. So I'm watching this morning, and I'm just like, well, they could have told us this. And then suddenly he becomes anti-Trump, and then he goes silent after it was something Tepes, Wally Tepes, or I'll look it up in a little bit. But something Tepes. Tepes was interesting because that was the last name of Count Dracula, Vlad Tepes, T-E-P-E-S. And this guy has contact with Thomas Crooks, and suddenly Crooks goes silent. But he's still, you know, training at the same gun range. I think what you're going to find out there is that was a FBI project. He was a project. He was a guy they found. And instead of going after him after making these online posts, they said, oh, no. Come. We have a job for you. You want to be a secret agent? Let's do it. Here's some weed. Here's some drugs. Whatever. Here's some guns. Here's some bombs that don't work. Come on, we're going to help you out. We're going to teach you how to be a secret agent. That's what our government does. And for some reason, the Trump administration doesn't want to say that's what's going on. I don't know.
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. Population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them, and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. And so that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted. Because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years.
for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, it's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two of your orders coming in, and two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, ultimate fish oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18, 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with the top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to them. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up all you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It up. It was Willie Tepe. It's even weirder. Like, that's a total government name. Willie. I call myself Willie Tepe's. And so you're looking at this and you're like, you know, why doesn't the FBI just put this information out? Hey, we had some rogue agents running this thing because, you know, that's what they do. In order to justify their existence, they create terror. That's what they do. And maybe Bongino didn't know that when he got in there, and then they kind of told him, and then he's like, well, maybe I should leave. And they're like, no, you can't leave now. Now you know the secret. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he worked in Secret Service. He obviously knows how government works. You know, but they just, hey, we're just going to hide this information because we don't want to let the public know that that's what we do, even though, you know, they do it so much. It's called the 6-week cycle, where every 6 weeks, they either thwart an attack or something happens and, oh, the guy was talking with FBI informants. Cause that's how you know it was a planned op. Anytime they show something or they stop something, they're like, an FBI informant tipped us off. Oh, amazing. You have FBI informants in all the right places. Which is probably why you'll never figure out, they'll never tell you who really killed Charlie Kirk. You know, this Tyler Robinson was probably involved, but I doubt he shot a 30-06 and his neck stopped it. I just don't think that happened. Going back to the vaccine news, this went out on the 15th with the Telegraph. This is a little Orwellian, if you want to pop over top of here. Government withholding data that may link COVID jab to excess deaths. UK HSA argued that releasing figures would lead to distress or anger of bereaved relatives if the connection were discovered. Imagine that. And the Jules says, formerly known as a cover-up, is now just withholding. It's now withholding. And we're just going to withhold that information. You know, it's more proof. And our, the governments of Britain and the United States are so entrenched, you know, with the Five Eyes, everybody sharing intelligence with each other. When they tell you they don't know what's going on, they know exactly what's going on. And that's why they're setting everything up for the digital ID. Let's go to this clip. And I'm wondering, I may open up the phone lines. Just getting these turning point revelations and then the Thomas Crooks over the weekend, looking at all that. And you're just like, wow, we're never, ever, ever going to get the government we want at this rate. It's never going to happen. And yeah, I think there's some great things Trump's doing. The hemp ban, not one of them. You know, and he signed it. So he probably didn't know it was in there, but he's going to find out. I think there's too many, here's the meme. There's too many veterans and seniors that are getting selves off alcohol and big pharma drugs and going to hemp. And, you know, this is going to be the boomers' last stand. The boomers want their CBD gummies. And I think you're going to see that. And then the people that are growing this stuff and, you know, the entrepreneurs aren't going to take this, you know, lying down because this is a $26 billion industry they're going to try to destroy overnight. But let's go back to this clip. This is a young man. I believe he's from Ireland talking about the digital ID and, how this new digital ID that they've created in the wake of COVID is going to go way beyond social credit scores. And then I'm going to show you the chart he refers to in the video. And we're going to go over it. And so let's go. Let's hear from our friends across the pond.
Digital IDs are way worse and way more dangerous than you could imagine. I am a software developer, okay, and I'm going to give you some software reasons why this is so much more dangerous than the things you already know, okay? Please, please, please watch this the whole way through. Share, like, comment. Share it with everyone. Everyone needs to know this because they need to know what they are opposing, okay? The first thing I want to say is to everyone saying it's only used for right to work, go on the World Economic Forum's website where they've got the digital ID up and it's like a picture with like 10 things around it about what they're going to use it for, okay? So first off, that reason's out. Here's the technical reasons of why it's so dangerous. Now, we already know about social credit score, we already know about carbon footprint, all these things that it could be, okay? But here's two technical things that are going on with the digital ID that you need to know, okay? Apple's safety and privacy on their phones has been one of their main selling points, and they've never laid down to any government when they've asked for access. Even when the police would arrest someone with an iPhone, they would struggle to break in because of Apple's advanced security features. That's the official name, okay? End-to-end encryption. Are you following, okay? The UK have now somehow made it that in the last couple of weeks that Apple have now to disable that on all UK phones. So if you have a phone in the UK and it's an iPhone, sorry, you will notice in your privacy settings that you will not have the ability to turn that feature on anymore. You won't even have the feature, okay? Because the government have now made them turn it off, right? The reason so that they can have access to what they deem as a national threat, okay? whatever that means. The second thing, right, there's a thing right now called chat control, which a lot of people are fighting against right now, okay? Chat control is basically where there's like an AI or an LLM based on your device, a piece of software, right, that tracks every stroke of your keyboard, right? Every time you press something, whether it's in Snapchat, whether it's in messages, whether it's in notes, whether it's in WhatsApp, whether it's in like your private journal app, right? It collects this data and then it will categorize you. And who does that with the, does what with the categorization? It gets sent off to, you guessed it, whoever it is, the servers, the government, the World Economic Forum, the evil people at the top of that, right? They will then categorize you in something by surveilling you like this. People do not understand this chat control thing. And with Apple's thing happening there, all in the UK, right, how serious and how dangerous this surveillance thing is. It's way beyond carbon footprint. It's way beyond social credit score. This is so deep, and they need the first domino to fall, which is to get this digital ID out there and for people to be on it. So I'm asking you, please share this video. People need to know so they know what they need to reject. Okay? Please, please, please share this.
All right, so let's look at the chart he was going to, and I'll show you where you could find your own copy of that. And I'll flip this article so you can see the headline of this article right here. How digital identity can improve lives in a post-COVID-19 world. That's from the World Economic Forum. It was put out in 2021. So these things take a while to come to fruition, but, you know, these are all the things that digital identity is going to help you with. It's going to help you with your healthcare. You know how everybody's health information is now out there and digitized? Well, they're going to be sharing it between the services. So now you're going to have all kinds of people contacting you about everything else. Financial services, they're going to be watching every transaction on your bank account. Did you know in the EU, it's going to be illegal in 2027 to do a cash transaction for a car. It has to be done over the bank, and you can't have more than 10,000, I think, euros in your house. If you have 15,000, you got 5,000 illegal euros, and they could be confiscated by the government. That's all coming. They're getting rid of cash, and they want it all to go digitally. Food and sustainability. Okay, so they're trying to make it, for farmers and consumers to verify performance of produce and enhance the value. No, this is to... They're going to basically cut off your access to food. Oh, you're eating too much meat. You've seen the visions of the future. Travel and mobility. Well, you just go look at China. How many people have been banned from traveling? Humanitarian response. Well, do you want to get aid from the government? You have to have your digital ID. You better have that. E-commerce. You want to participate in online? Well, we have to know who you are, and we have to know everything you're getting. Same with social platforms. Same with e-government, which will probably turn to some weird voting system. You know, we're going to trade in voting machines for online cloud-based voting. Oh, nothing going to happen there. And the AI will determine who the winner was. Telecommunications, smart cities. That's all what's going to be invested in your digital ID footprint. And I like this. They even allude here. There's a part about Canada I thought was interesting. The need for trust, the human-centric digital identities to rebuild the economy. Okay, as proven in Canada, a digital ID ecosystem is not only to monitor and connect people and governments and the private sector in a trusted, transparent way, but also accelerates participation in the economy, work, and mobility. Okay, so if they're going to accelerate participation, they could also accelerate non-participation. Remember what they did to the truckers, where they started canceling their bank cards and bank accounts, freezing their bank accounts? Oh, well, that's part of your friendly little neighborhood digital ID right there. I'm your friend. See, I'm here. I got a couple of eyes. I'm smiling. You don't see the horns that are right there, but they're right there. They're right there. Speaking of horns, I saw this clip over the weekend. Guys, it's the one that starts with CERN. It's number 16. CERN is admitting they're communicating with entities from the other side. Where is that other side? Is it another dimension? Is it another reality? Who knows? But CERN, and you've seen the opening ceremonies of CERN and the Swiss tunnels and everything else out there. Very satanic looking. Well, let's go to the clip now.
This collider, mm-hmm. and these beings that they're in communication with. So we're talking about
the premier scientists on planet Earth right now, who are actively engaged, according to their own words, communicating with something, something with a personality, in their own words, in a from another dimension. And that's the purpose of the collider. I mean, people need to understand, this is not science fiction, this is fact.
That's correct. What I write about in my novels,
right,
I place a storyline that is embedded with science fact. Everything that I present publicly in the books, public speaking, is all drawn from their own scientific journals and white papers. And then I'm able to see what they're doing. Not just extrapolate, but see in the real time what it is they're doing. Not a future agenda, but what they're doing right now today. The imminency of what they intend to do, which is opening this gateway. And understand that the world of science in terms of particle physics also overlaps into DNA, into biology.
Yes.
There's a multifaceted, multi-level agenda at play, not just with CERN, but it's proof of concept feeder labs around the world that feed into CERN. So we're talking about change.
So that's probably your weirdest clip of the day we'll show. There's the, that might have been, I think this is, I'm not sure if this is real or not, but this one, is this real? Okay, this is the opening ceremonies of CERN. I mean, oh, this is the outside. Okay, because I'm thinking of the inside one. Yeah, look, there's the little demon goddess being projected. And you can see the 666 in CERN. It's all there, you know. The governments of the world are communicating with entities from other dimensions on novel ways to kill us. And people are finding out and people are getting mad. You see it down in Mexico. I'm going to have my guest in next hour talking about what he's seeing on the ground in Mexico. I tell you what though, let's go ahead and let's open up the phone lines. Let's get dirty here. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. I've got some interesting clips from the Islamists out there that they're saying things like, quote, Islamic domination is a matter of time. And we must challenge the status quo and change the laws step by step until we have everything. That's your religion of peace. And they've got Michigan. Parts of Michigan, and now they're coming for Texas. And they're not, and you know, Austin, you don't see it that much, but you go to Dallas, they get in the streets, they're beating their chests. Just to let you know they're here for peace. Because that's what peaceful people do. Did you know about the OPT program? Which is, you know, they might get rid of H-1B visas, but there's a whole nother program that they've designed to continually screw the American worker. So this is from Numbers USA, and they're talking about the OPT program. It's actually where companies get an incentive not to hire Americans. Imagine that. Imagine that in this world. All right, here it is.
Messed up is our immigration system. There is a program that gives a discount to employers who don't hire Americans. The program is called Optional Practical Training, a completely Orwellian name for a program that puts foreign students and graduates into U.S. jobs that have no enforceable wage protections. Student visa holders participate because OPT allows them to stay and work in the U.S. when their student visa wouldn't. Universities love it because now they're selling not just education, but access to the U.S. labor market. And employers love it because they don't have to pay payroll taxes for OPT workers. That's about an 8% savings for every position filled through the OPT, a financial incentive from the federal government to not hire an American worker. Not surprisingly, OPT is the most popular guest worker program in the country. It costs Americans hundreds of thousands of jobs and costs Social Security $1 billion a year, but it provides young, captive, foreign labor at a premium discount. And it was never voted on. Congress didn't create the OPT program. The program, as we know it today,
this is the best
made
part.
Up by the Department of Homeland Security after speaking with an industry lobbyist at a dinner party. The entire purpose of OPT is to get around the limits Congress put on guest worker programs. It's a finger in the eye of Congress. It's a finger in the eye of American workers. It's a finger in the eye of American students. It should be abolished.
So when Trump comes back and says, oh, all right, we'll get rid of H-1B visas. What's even worse is it's going to be the OPT program, which was created by the Department of Homeland Security. So maybe somebody ought to talk to Border Barbie and see if she could get rid of that program. Because if it was created by the Department of Homeland Security, can it be abolished by the Department of Homeland Security? Or do we have to go through the process of making it a law that they can't have programs that circumvent Congress? No other agency is allowed to create employment programs, you know, like, but that's what's going to happen. They're going to say, hey, we're going to get rid of H-1B visas. Everyone's going to be like, victory. And you still got the OPT. All right, let's go to Tim in California. He wants to talk about CERN. We just played that video on CERN, how they're admittedly communicating with entities on the other side. Go ahead. Greetings, Tim the Sorcerer from California.
I don't know if I'm a sorcerer, Rob, but I'll tell you what. I've called into the American Journal several times over the years with this CERN stuff. And as you pointed out, Shiva, the goddess of destruction, was there above ground at the gates of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep in mind that this thing is the world's largest machine. It is the world's largest machine.
It really is.
I'm just telling you, it's like 20 some odd miles in diameter or whatever. And They are currently, they've already got the plans approved for one that's three times as large. And I believe it's 66 something miles in diameter or something. Same sort of thing. But just to show you how crazy this is, you remember Dr. Stephen Hawking? The guy all twisted up in the wheelchair, world-renowned physicist that had to talk with a computer. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what he had to say about the stuff that they're playing around with there at the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider.
Tell me.
At CERN. Here's what he said. He said it could cause the entire universe to undergo catastrophic vacuum decay, and that this would happen at the speed of light. And without warning.
That's pretty quick.
So in other words, these guys could just basically destroy the universe. You know, the whole thing would start imploding in where the Earth once used to be. You know, and just this would all just happen at lightning speed. No one would ever even know what's happening. And these clowns are not content with the one that they have. They want one that's three times bigger. But all I can tell you is back, I think it was 2008, they started building it. It took them 10 years to build it till 2018 when they fired it up. They got tens of thousands of scientists from all over the world working in this thing and on this thing and stuff. And even in the beginning, they were talking about, hey, man, they're having problems. Like they're having these things where almost like ChatGPT is having hallucinations. A similar thing. Hey, we're getting into these, maybe you want to call them dimensions or whatever, but contacts with things from things that we don't even understand. This is one of my concerns, too, about this ChatGPT thing. I'm thinking, hey, man, you guys are basically making an electronic Ouija board. Do you really want that? Is that really what you want? You want to make a contact with something that's from another side and so forth? But I do.
Well, yeah, I think they do want that. They think they're getting they're getting information. They're getting knowledge.
And
you can see that they're promoting that with that opening ceremony that we were playing over while you were talking about CERN, which was really cool. We're playing this opening ceremony footage. Not that the footage is cool, but just how you're talking about how this thing is a demonic portal, and these people all look like they want to be part of this demonic portal, the way they're dancing and it's weird. This is not normal. We're watching. I don't know if you're watching it right now, but this isn't normal. Normal people don't act like this. Normal people build buildings and have, you know, societies and, you know.
Listen to what you just said. You said build. Here's the two forces that are competing. The forces are creation versus destruction. These are the two forces that are competing, creation versus destruction.
You're right.
And we see it everywhere, in everything. And the Bible makes all this stuff clear. And it tells us, hey, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And I'm not even a Bible thumper. You know, I'm an old guy now. I've read it a few times. But I'm just telling you, man, it is creation versus destruction. And whenever you see all these brilliant scientists, they're all like, even in the cartoons, it'd be like, you know, mad scientists. They all have lost their minds. They create these bird flu pandemics for dozens of years in hundreds of locations all over planet Earth. And, you know, what good could ever come from that? And for that matter, they create all these new weapons that none of us even know about. And there's even this discussion now, the president of the United States, President Trump, said, we can even change time. And I don't know when it was, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. I didn't hear this. I just kind of came up with it on my own. But I said to myself, you know what? I have a funny feeling that all these little spaceships and things that people say or they're seeing and so forth, if there is anything, it's us. It's us from the future coming back in time, basically as space tourists, to go see something that happened long ago. I don't know. I sound crazy. I know.
Yeah, just, you know.
Whenever you talk about CERN, man.
What we're watching right now is crazy. And what you're talking is this is what you think they're up to. And so, but when you're watching what they're doing, the play that they're showing in front of the world right now of this opening ceremony, I mean, it's just weird. And there's a giant goat creature walking around. With these hairy, like, those are like the African hairy monsters or whatever those things are called. I mean, it's bizarre. That's all I can say. And like, these are the people that want to run your life, you know, and they don't want you to have children. That's people are bad for the earth. These are the people telling you that humans are bad for the earth that walk around and act like this. That's my problem with it, you know. Hey, thanks for your call, Tim. Tim the Sorcerer, that's from, Monty Python. You probably know that, don't you? Oh, we got Tim the Sorcerer from Seattle now. All right, Tim, thanks for calling. Interesting. Tim, I'm gonna take your thunder here, but let's bring on Tim the Sorcerer. But here's the headline from Gateway Pundit. Oh, you know what? We're out. I'm gonna bring you in that first five. We're gonna talk about this. It has to do with the Epstein files and President Trump. I'm not gonna say anything else. We're gonna come back after break. You're gonna see.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
forged in the fires of liberty. The Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Jeffrey Epstein files alert, alert. We've got Tim the Sorcerer on the line, but I want to read this headline. In a 180 reversal, it's gone from hoax to now President Trump banging his fist on the table. President Trump demands House Republicans vote to release Epstein files. Warns Republicans not to fall for Democrat trap designed to distract from his record-setting achievements. So I think he's saying, get it done, get it out of here, and then let's keep going. And we've seen, I think we've probably seen the worst of it. You know, there was a joke, that they were, he's blowing somebody. Trump was blowing somebody and nobody cared. And maybe Trump thought people were going to believe it, but I think nobody believed that the hookers were peeing on him. You know, I don't think anybody thinks President Trump is gay. The guy's been a woman hound for years. So. President Trump is done playing defense. Tim the Sorcerer, I want to get your reaction from Seattle. You're on the line.
How's it going? Yeah, the Epstein Island thing, it's more than Trump, ladies and gentlemen. I believe a lot of the people that were responsible for implicating or implementing COVID at the higher-ups, Department of Defense, all the hospital officials, the insurance heads, they were all compromised at Epstein Island. This is bigger than just Trump. And I think that this is probably one of the most important issues of our day is to make sure that these pedophiles are all held accountable. I don't want to be in a government. I'd rather go to Russia and deal with the gulag than deal with these gay pedophiles just warping our kids' minds and having no options and just having to sit there on the fence and wait for time to take me. I'm done with that. So I think a lot of Republicans are as well. But again, it's gonna really shake the foundation of our government. They're the ones that made the bioweapons. They're the ones that signed on to the depopulation agenda. They did it. Now it's time for them all to be held accountable. And I think the Epstein Island is the front door to making sure that they are held accountable. I don't think we should ever relent on this. I support Marjorie Taylor Greene for president of 2028. If this is going to be her platform, is to make these pedophiles hang, because they do need to hang. You cannot go around raping children and getting away with it. Your billions of dollars, null and void. Your power, null and void. This system has to come crashing down. And if it comes crashing down on Trump, he's the fool that put himself there, right? We're doing our best to pull him out of this. You know, there's a lot of brand loyalty and worship about the guy. And he's really great and stuff. And we all want him to be innocent. But it's still at the same time, it's almost too late for him. He's guilty by association to the nth degree in a lot of ways. And I think he surrounded himself with so many people in this that are also attached to the hip to the Epstein Island that he can't move. So we have to be the movers. That's my thoughts on this. I have one other thing to say about the gravity thing.
Well, let me just comment on that. I agree with everything you just said. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was very eloquent. We're going to put that out as a clip that Trump – you know, if Trump is implicated in these, it doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter. We have to have accountability. And I 100% agree with you. And I don't think he's going to be, I think if anything, he's guilty of at least trying to cover this thing up and sweep it under the rug. But, you know, if he is implicated, well, that's his problem. You know, it's not my problem anymore. Justice be done to the heavens fall. Go ahead with your last point. You got a minute.
Okay. You should have on Stuart Talbot. He's a researcher in the electric universe thing. If you guys have been on the internet long enough, you've probably seen things about the electric universe and stuff. You guys were just talking about CERN and it creating a strange light and sucking the Earth into this big gravity well. It's quite possible that that can never even happen. And gravity might be a big myth, right? We are dealing with, like, you were born into the Plato's cave. I was born in Plato's cave. Your grandparents were born into Plato's cave. And the establishment has been polishing these lies on top of lies to keep us in this one narrow perspective. And if you have Stuart Talbot on from the Thunderbolts Project on YouTube, it'd be very informative for your listeners and your base to get maybe a better understanding of how they're going to try to manipulate and kind of, tweak everything. There's a lot of people think that the internet is forever and stuff like that, and what we've been taught in school is real. The internet is here for us to learn about the lies. That's what it is. It's going to expose all the lies and the standard cosmos.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-filament formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
Yeah, the electric universe. I think Nikola Tesla was talking about the electric universe. It was pulling electricity out of thin air. Imagine that. We don't really need to get rebar and tons of concrete to make giant bases and build giant wind turbines that don't really work and then fail when you need them, which causes, 2 week power outages and most parts of Texas because you didn't winterize them. You don't really need that. You just pull it out of thin air. So, thanks for your call. That was Tim. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Wanted to talk about the hemp ban. Go ahead, Bart.
Yes, sir. Before I get to the hemp ban, buy the methylene blue. Buy it before it's banned, before Mitch McConnell has it banned. He's the one behind this hemp bill because I believe he's taking money from the regular marijuana, which is competition for the hemp THC. Excuse me. I mean, how can we eliminate this product when it's been legal for 8 years and all this money has been invested? Now they're just going to shut it down. Mitch McConnell needs to be arrested and asked questions later. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. In fact, we've got Mitch McConnell's bourbon-backed ban on CBD products. So, he's definitely being financed by either alcohol, tobacco, or big pharma. Take your pick. I'm sure Pfizer said, we can't have people getting their painkillers out of a gummy. We have to, they have to come to us and get hooked on Oxycontin. So let's go to clip 14 real quick. It's a 30-second clip. Just what Mitch McConnell's doing out there and who's backing him to get rid of some of these beverages that are on the shelves currently and legal.
It's actually 0.4 milligrams per package. And even these simple CBD oils that we offer at Cornbread Hemp and other companies all across the hemp industry offer, they have 1 milligram of THC per serving along with 25 milligrams of CBD. That's 30 milligrams of THC in a jar of this just little CBD oil. It's simple. It's harmless. People have come to rely and depend on this as a wellness product over the last several years. And now in 364 days, it's going to become a Schedule I narcotic. And we can't let that happen.
Yeah. And we played a short clip from Cornbread Hemp. They were the ones who were riled up about that ban coming out in less than a year now. So it was last week was the start. That was the countdown clock. So around this time next year, if nobody does anything, then we will be basically a bunch of businesses will be made illegal overnight with the stroke of a pen from a year earlier. Now here's this is 14B, guys. Kyle Turley, former NFL offensive tackle and Pro Bowler, lobbying against hip restrictions, included, you know, he doesn't want this to happen. So obviously he's probably had issues in his life banging up against people and probably found a way to relieve himself without painkillers. Bo, can't have that, though. Not in this world. Not with your digital ID telling you where you can go and who you can talk to. Let's go to that clip.
Suicidal, homicidal, just out of my mind because of football for cannabis. You know, that's it saved my life.
Why are you up on Capitol Hill right now?
I started coming here a long time ago, fighting for cannabis, fighting for players' rights. It saved my life. I have to do everything I can to give back to that and expose this as much as possible to the public.
How did it save your life?
As an athlete, you know, we were guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical industry. And so, you know, found myself a 20-year addiction to pharmaceuticals to really try to expose that. Because I feel that that has been the one thing in my life that's been able to keep me moving forward. I brought this. This is my rookie helmet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every one of these marks here on this helmet, you know, are what people now understand as CTE.
So in this bill that just reopened the government, it includes language in there that targets the hemp industry.
This bill here is completely going to devastate the hemp industry. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things in there that's going to take a lot of people out of work. And more importantly, it's going to criminalize American citizens for things that they are participating in medicinal use. This is not killing kids. This is saving kids. I've seen this save the lives of young children from seizures to cancer. It saved my life. I'm here. I have two beautiful children that a lot of my friends don't have that ability to be around anymore.
So that was Kyle Turley explaining basic common sense. You know, what you look at what's going on and how that got slipped in and like why we couldn't just have a clean resolution open the government. Oh no, we also have to ban the hemp industry. Some little senator's like, and we have to, and Mitch McConnell's just like, we're just going to put this piece of paper in. It's okay. It's okay. Holy cow. Cause this, it's like, oh, well, we're not banning it. You can have 0.4% of hemp. In one container, or THC, 0.4%. Nobody's going to be able to live up to that. It's impossible. Oh, we got to stop God's creation. 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 That's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. We got to stop God's creation. We just got to stop it. That's what they're trying to do. So we got a year. Here's my prediction. And If this goes through and becomes law, then it is definitely proof that our government hates us and wants us dead. Right there. That will be the proof. If they don't let people have their CBD gummies, the old boomers and such, and others who take those types of products, or make houses out of hemp, you know, stuff like that. Like, no one's going to be able to grow it. It's going to be banned everywhere. All right, let's go to Sharon in Pennsylvania. I want to talk about the hemp ban. She is very concerned, as are most normal thinking Americans. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you giving me a chance to speak about this. Number one, I want to be firm about the fact that I am absolutely in favor of keeping hemp alive for those purposes that are helpful and medicinal for so many millions of people around the world. My concern is, and I don't know, I have no answers or suggestions as to how regulation can take place. But the problem is for nefarious manufacturers is they get around that loophole of the 0.3% THC. They extract that THC, heat it to very high levels, and add horrible chemicals to it that amp up the THC in these products, whether they be gummies, vapes, drinks, or the marijuana itself. And it's causing a medical emergency of untold proportion that people do not understand, which are two conditions, which is cannabis-induced psychosis and cannabis hyperemesis disorder.
Yeah.
They are real. they are affecting 10 to 15% of our population, half of which are young people whose brains are not fully formed or may have maybe predisposed because of pre-existing medical conditions, like ADHD or another mental health disorder. However, 50% of that 10 to 15% have had no history of any medical illness and are adults, some in their 40s, 50s, and you mentioned veterans. Of course, I actually suffer from CPTSD myself, have used, and I've got a spinal condition that I have used CBD oil with the highest level of THC that I can get. It didn't help me, but I know it helps many others. So again, my concern is, what do we do? I have no idea of to keep this from happening because the THC content is extraordinarily high. And
let me respond to that real quick. I agree with you. The industry has to basically come to its own defense, and it also has to regulate itself. The industry, and I think what you do is you just say, we're not allowing anything from other countries. It can only be done here. And these places get tested. You're not allowed to use weird, herbicides and pesticides to grow this stuff. You know, you have to have standards. You have to set standards all along the way. I've heard of these conditions. There's another condition called scromiting where people are screaming and vomiting at the same time after ingesting things. But, you know, this can happen with any substance. Kids start drinking too much. They get in daddy's chewing tobacco. They're going to be puking, you know, and it is up to parents to watch what their kids are doing and monitor them. And I know kids can be crazy, but if you sell this stuff not at gas stations and you only put it in dispensaries, well, that clears up a lot of your problem of young kids getting it, at least at the consumer point. But it doesn't stop a kid from going to their parents' stuff and taking it or getting a friend to buy it who's old enough. I agree. All those things are issues. But attacking an industry and putting a 0.4% THC per package limit is it can't be done without way more processing, basically killing the product from going any further. You know, unless you spend a lot more money and then everybody's paying higher prices. And then people are going, well, why am I not taking Oxycontin instead of, you know, CBD oil? I'll go ahead and let you finish up your second point.
Like you said, sir, there has to be a way to self-regulate. We know what's going on with these hemp farms that have been taken over by the CCP in mm-hmm. Maine. So yep. We know what's going on in many other states. And going back to the children, it's adults as well. Again, 50% of that 10 to 15% that are experiencing cannabis-induced psychosis. And unfortunately, I've had two of my loved ones that have experienced that. It is probably one of the most terrifying things you'll ever witness. And unfortunately, one of my sons continues to smoke that pot, and he has been in a continual state. His mind has slipped into a permanent state of schizophrenia, which can happen. So going back to this can happen with anything. It can happen with alcohol. That's actually not true. Alcohol gets out of your system in about a day. However, marijuana can stay in the system and build up in the system over time. We know it doesn't completely excrete for 30 days, so that's a concern in terms of the half-life. But the biggest concern is it's happening not just to kids, but it's happening to adults as well. And going back to it can happen with any drug, yes, it can. It certainly can. However, 80% of all psychosis is due to drugs. And of that 80%, 60% is from marijuana. The rest is from meth.
And it's the new marijuana they've been making. They're trying to make this stuff stronger and stronger and tweak the plants. You know, when I was in college, you couldn't find the stuff they're putting out now. Like, it was impossible. It didn't exist. And now it's everywhere. And I agree. It is strong. It's way too strong a product. And I think you put limits on that. You got to go, listen, guys, there's no reason we need to have, like, what you're saying is true, this 60% of these people going through the psychosis. And I have seen some of it. I think I think there are ways to get around that. Obviously, if you have people that are abusing a drug and having this problem, then that's what it is. It's drug abuse. But if you're making it, yeah, there's a lot of things that have to be answered. I agree with you. But banning it is not the way to go. Banning something that grows from the ground is not the way to do it. Thank you for your call, Sharon. Appreciate your perspective. Let's go to Herb also. We're just going to continue with the hemp ban callers right now, since that seems to be don't worry, Don, I'll get to you in 1 second. Don in Michigan. Herb, no pun intended, from South Carolina. Let's talk about the hemp ban. Go ahead, Herb.
Hey, yeah, I was looking at the hemp ban, and through the years, as I've noticed marijuana legalization occur in our nation, I watched that a lot of the primary spots where you see it legalized are often highly Democratic. And it's kind of like an issue that the Democratic Party has used in order to gain influence and power in a lot of places. And it kind of really troubles me that at this important, crucial time when we need the support to come through in the right direction, the president has signed off on this, an issue which a lot of older people and generally a lot of people that I've seen in areas around that are using these the hemp derived THC products as painkillers, treatments for fibromyalgia, things like that, when their supply to their medicine that they're using instead of pharmaceuticals is suddenly cut off, you take someone that may normally be a supporter and would help the 2026 midterms, mm-hmm. or future elections, could turn against that and kind of go towards the Democratic initiative towards communism. And that's just not something that I think would be beneficial. And I don't really know if they've considered this. The only other thing, it definitely would probably push towards full-scale legalization. But unfortunately, the Republican Party has not just kind of got their bootstraps up and said, you know what, we need to get behind this and we need to support the legalization. Instead, that has leaned towards the Democratic Party, which is a very unfortunate thing. As you know, we recently had a Democratic leader, Joe Biden, and nothing was ever done on a national scale by him that I saw to create legalization.
Well, they don't. They use that as an issue. Yeah, they use that just like abortion. They're never going to legalize abortion everywhere, so they could use that as the issue to get people to the polls.
Yep. I think this may be one of the things that may just kind of tip the scale towards the Democratic Party to just going ahead and just straight winning a lot of these issues. And it's like Owen Schroyer said, he said that he did not support, you know, one issue voting thing. And that was he was very right about that. But the Democratic Party does. And they absorb those one issue voters.
Oh, they do.
As they get them, they go right to that party.
No, and they're very good. They're very good at mobilizing those people.
Yeah, I don't think the president sees it, but I think that if he just looks at it and other members of the Republican Party look at this issue, they might can swoop in and get the win. They might could turn this to their favor, you know, and go for full legalization and regulation and make mandates to lower those high THC things in there that people are using. I'm personally allergic to marijuana. I'm allergic to it. If I'm near it, it flares my asthma. But if someone's using something, I get away from them. You know, like I have that option. Like I don't go around people that are drinking either. What is it, like 50% of all violent crime involves alcohol? You know, I don't go around that because I don't like violent crime. You know, like, okay, I don't want to be involved in that.
But right. No,
thank
I hear
you for taking my call.
Yep.
You have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's definitely got the industry is not perfect, but what industry is? I mean, we just showed you the pharmaceutical industry inserting foreign DNA into your vaccines, you know, and how they were finding it. And some of the foreign DNA causes cancer. It just happens to be that way. I don't see anybody calling for their regulation. I didn't see that in the clean CR. Anything about the COVID shot or Pfizer or SV40. Didn't see any of that. So, you know, it's just like, well, we got something that grows from the earth. You know, like tobacco. It's like you can't just grow tobacco plants. You gotta have your stuff together to grow that stuff. Why? Oh, well, it turns out nicotine's actually a really good medicine for you. Oh, we can't have people growing their own medicine in their yards. What kind of country would this be? Let's go to Derek in New Jersey. Just, elected a Democrat mayor. Is probably gonna raise your taxes, but you do get your hemp. Go ahead, Derek.
Yes. Yes, that's true. The last caller had pretty much the same thought that I did. You know, you've got Mitch McConnell, totally controlled Rhino at this point, and he's kind of pulling a Lindsey Graham with the abortion issue that killed the midterms for Trump and stymied his last presidency.
Yep.
And so now it just seems like a repeat of the same thing. And now, of course, he's helping out his buddies in the alcohol industry is like the on the face premise of, you know, that's the way the mainstream media puts it. And I totally agree. Trump needs to be aware of this, and he signed off on it, and he's going to look like the bad guy in this. He should reverse it and do full legalization. And I don't smoke marijuana either. I'm 60 years old. I had fun back in the day, but not for me. And
I hear you. Yep.
Yeah,
here's the thing. Hold on one second. Well, the senator and the rep who from Kentucky who are pro keeping the hemp industry alive, he doesn't like at all. And he's publicly excoriated them. It's Rand Paul and Thomas Massey. So he's not going to listen to these guys if they come up to him and say anything. So it's got to be from some other, it's got to come from Texas or it's got to come from New Jersey. It's got to come from some other place because I don't think he's going to listen to Rand Paul or Thomas Massey.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the things Trump's doing, I kind of wonder, is he just, like, stupid or autistic, semi-retarded? I don't know. Because if he loses the midterms, in theory, if what they're telling us is true, they're going to put him in jail for the rest of his life or hang him. So what, has he worked out a deal that they're going to fake his death, you know, when he gets out of the presidency and everybody will think he got killed, but he'll be living off on some island the rest of his life.
Like Valhalla.
You know, what's really going on? Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely needs to course correct on some things, but there are some things that he's doing that are good. At least, you know, he did close the border up and we are deporting some people. A lot of people don't like the way he's deporting people, but that's the way it goes. We're going to have our guest next hour. I'm going to fit Don in here, who's been hitting me up. He's got this info wagon. You guys might be able to pull it up on X or something if you go to Don. Don, go ahead. Well, you're thinking, what should we rename it? I think the truth wagon, but go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Glad to talk to you, and it was an extreme pleasure meeting you guys when I went down there. Just don't know what to do. I mean, what was it, the AJN, the labels everywhere? I take it everywhere. It's the InfoWars info wagon.
Yeah.
And it's not just a car with stickers all over it. I've got all the content. I've got videos. I've got paperwork, everything. I go to all the county commission meetings. I go to the city council meetings, township meetings. I'm a precinct delegate. Everywhere I go, I'm plugging InfoWars. So it's crazy. 31 years, the brand, the building. I know it continues. The InfoWar continues. And it's just so frustrating, the brand that you guys have built up all these years. What do I do with the car, Rob?
I think you keep it and you make them come after you and do something. But I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think anybody's going to do anything to you. I think you keep it. It's a symbol of the forgotten times, the old times, you know. But we're not dead yet. We're still here, and every day we're here is a blessing. We talked about doing rerun shows on Friday and Monday, and Jones said, "Listen, every day here is a gift. We need to be live on the air and tell people what's going on." So that's why I'm here. Literally, we had that meeting about 10 feet from me about 2 weeks ago. Maybe a week and a half ago about, well, you know, should we go and do a show or should we just do a rebroadcast? Cause Brianna and the producers weren't going to be here. They had scheduled time off and whatnot. And Jones is like, no, we need to be live on the air. I said, all right, I'll do it and we'll find some people. Rob came in here from doing, he's working, you know, another 12-hour day, but that's what, you know what? We're lucky to be working 12-hour days right now. So thank you everybody out there for your support. We're going to have our guest Julio Rosas up next talking about what's going on in Mexico. Lots of amazing footage we're going to be playing to you next period in our next giant break here. That's coming up. Thanks for watching The American Journal.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. With the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and it's the the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. But I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
People in Mexico seem to be pissed. And, you know, I'm going to share a little J6 story. When we were up there, I saw them pull a guard out just like that, pull him out of, I guess, from the inside of that where that scrum was going on, that one little part that they showed over and over again. They pulled the guy out, and it looked like he was fighting, and a couple other guys were fighting with him, and then another guy came and said, whoa, 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 and they stopped, and they escorted the guy out. Instead of going, hey, you know, you're the enemy, it's like, look, we know you're in this position, so, you know, we're all brothers in Christ, so let's get you out of here. But you're not seeing that in Mexico. There's definitely some people pissed, and my guest Julio Rosas is going to, I don't know everything that's going on. He's going to give us all the details. But before we bring him on, we're going to bring him on by phone. He's having some computer difficulties, but we're just going to show this footage over top of it while he's talking. But right now at thealexjonesstore.com, which is how you fund everything we're doing here, everything you see, the extra days as we keep going into this kind of weird moment where we may be shut down at any minute, we don't even know what the future is going to bring. But right now, buy one bottle of CMOS gummies and you get one for free. We're doing this kind of rolling buy one, get one free. It was Shilajit over the weekend. It was Methylene Blue before that. But now it's the CMOS gummies. Buy one, get one free. And there it is. Yeah, so it's not the capsules. It's just the gummies. So try the gummies. People love them. They sell out all the time. And we're always trying to get more in. But, you know, sea moss is, it comes from the ocean. It's nutrient dense. It's a digestion aid. It's got natural energy boost. It's a detox. It promotes joint support and skin and health care. And you buy one bottle and you get another bottle free. Try it out. Maybe get a bottle and get one for your friend. And then you both become customers. We have some of these products like Methylene Blue, 80% reorder rate from people. Also, if you get a, subscription, you can get it even cheaper. So, get the subscription, you get the buy one, get one free, and then if you use the app, I think you get another discount on it. So if you go to Alex Jones Store app, alexjonesapp.com, you can get the, download the app, either for Droid or for Apple, and then use that to go buy it, and you get, I think you get another discount rolled in with that. So check it all out. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com funds everything we do. And now we go to our guest, Julio Rosas, on the phone. Are you in Mexico right now, sir?
Yes, I'm still in Mexico City.
All right. So tell me, what is going on at the Sheinbaum compound? It seems to be, is it still as active as it was over the weekend?
No, there is another march scheduled for Thursday, and that's actually a national holiday. It's Revolution Day. And so I think that's why they decided to have one so soon after. But all of this, I would say all of this has been building for a very long time. And the spark that kind of that was created was in the aftermath of a mayor in the state of Michoacán. And for those who don't know, that state has been one of the worst states when it comes to cartel violence. That's actually where the Mexican drug war first started. It started in that state. And so the mayor of the state's second biggest city, he was an outspoken critic of the cartels. He was heavily critical of President Claudia Sheinbaum for what he says was not doing enough to confront these criminal groups. And so on Dia de Muertos, which is right after Halloween, it's one of the, you know, one of the most important holidays here in Mexico. And he was assassinated in public. You know, he was with his family. He had police been guarding him, but it was kind of like a suicide attack with this lone gunman. And so there's a cartel link to that in the reporting. So his killing really angered a lot of people in Mexico because he's just another in a long list of politicians, activists, and reporters who have been speaking out against this problem, and then they get killed or disappeared for it. And so that's why this march was against the president, was against, you know, the narco politics and the alliances that you know, unfortunately exist here in this country. And that's why we saw that outrage kind of reach critical mass once they entered the main plaza outside the National Palace. And, you know, I've been covering riots for quite some time, and I can tell you that this was one of the craziest, riots and protests that I've ever covered.
Yeah, we're showing it on screen right now. They're using, like, these gates as battering rams going, and the troops are basically like a phalanx, you know, that you would see in, like, ancient Rome with their shields up. And I guess that came from they tore down sections of a wall that was there. They started tearing that down, and then the police had to kind of fill the gap. Is that what happened?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that, you know, typically in the United States, you have to wait until nighttime for things to get violent. You know, it started out peaceful, right? But as soon as they entered the main plaza, they just started to attack that security wall that they put up, you know, earlier last week. And so it went on for quite some time. And because there were no policemen preventing people from reaching the wall, surprise, surprise, the Mexicans were able to finally break through and tear it down. I could say that. But it was absolutely intense, because not only did we have to deal with the typical tear gas, they're using fire extinguishers, which if you breathe that in, that is a bit of an irritant. And pepper spray. But the crowd was breaking up basically these concrete manhole covers in the plaza, and they were throwing it at the cops behind the wall. And you know, once they could see them, and the cops were throwing those rocks back at us.
Wow.
In the crowd. And so that's something I've never encountered before. And, you know, quite frankly, it's, you know, by God's grace that I was only hit three times over the course of those couple of hours, because a lot of people got hit in the face and other kind of critical areas, just because, I mean, they were just throwing rocks back and forth for a long time.
And so were they yelling anything at the time? Like, you know, they want Sheinbaum to go. I mean, what do they want? What do the protesters want aside from no cartel violence?
Yeah, so obviously they're targeting the president, because she has said repeatedly, especially in the aftermath of Carlos Manzo's assassination, that she will not allow any foreign military to be on U.S. soil, or no, sorry, Mexican soil, to fight the cartels, and that Mexico is not going to wage a war on drugs similar to the past, because her predecessor had this famous catchphrase that became a bit of a running joke of hugs, not bullets, in terms of approach to the cartels.
Oh yeah.
So basically it's a left wing party, and so it's the idea that we'll address the root causes of violence, and that will, you know, we won't wage a war against the cartels. And there is some validity to that, because when the war started in 2006, I mean, violence exploded, but people at the same time say, well, his approach, you know, the previous president's approach hasn't worked, and now Sheinbaum is saying she's basically going to do the same thing. So we need something radically different in order to finally solve this issue. So obviously when they're attacking the National Palace, a lot of their chants were directed against Sheinbaum, against the ruling party, Morena, saying it's a narco state, she's a narco president, and that she needs to get out of office, basically.
And I guess the issue is, anybody that comes in and is openly anti-cartel, they either lose the election through votes, or they get assassinated. Is that basically what's happened? Or they get in office and then immediately get killed? Is that the basics? It seems to be, you always read about that in Mexico, you know. Five Mario Oro candidates killed in, you know, 2 weeks. You know, it's just like, it's just crazy the amount of violence that goes on.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the state. It depends on the criminal groups that operate in the state or the city. But, I mean, yeah, that's basically the gist of it. Because Carlos Manzo, the mayor that was killed, he would film himself going on these raids with the police.
Yeah.
To say that, like, we're taking the fight to these organizations. Because what I want people to understand is that the cartels are no longer simply drug cartels or human trafficking networks. Historically, if you weren't involved in the drug trade here in Mexico, you were usually left alone, right? But unfortunately, the cartels have expanded their portfolio, essentially. You know, they're involved in the oil theft of the state oil company. And most disturbingly, they're involved in extortion. So it doesn't even matter if you're in a city or state that has a highly coveted drug trafficking route. Anywhere in Mexico, a cartel or a local gang will just extort a business owner. And, you know, obviously the cost of living and the wages here don't match the United States. So people are really kind of pressed into indentured servitude or slavery, because they have to pay such a heavy tax so that they're left alone. And so that's kind of another reason why Mexicans are so upset, because, you know, like I said, if you weren't involved in the drug trade, you know, drug war, then you could kind of be okay. But now the cartels are just completely taken over the entire criminal market in various states. And obviously it varies in different places across the country, but it's gotten out of hand. You know, the problem has gotten worse, right? And that's why I think President Trump is trying to explore as many options as he can, because from the United States perspective, simply approaching it through a law enforcement approach that hasn't worked. Like, yes, there's been some successes of arresting cartel leaders and getting rid of cartels being dismantled, but
there's always somebody there to fill the gap. Always.
Right. Yeah. Or that cartel splinters into five different factions, and now mm-hmm. you have more violence because they're all fighting each other
right.
in addition to fighting their quote unquote other rivals. So it's a very unfortunate situation. Obviously we want, me personally, I want Mexico to do well because they're our neighbors. Right?
Sure,
I mean, this is
yeah.
a country that,
yeah.
it's just very sad to see the current state, because especially from the Mexicans' perspective, there doesn't seem to be an end in sight.
Oh, they just showed the nut punch again. That's the only part that I'm really like, ow. And then they kick some poor kid in the face a couple times, the cops. But it seemed to be almost pretty equal of cops getting a little bit of pain, the protesters getting a little bit of pain. But let's look at it this way. We saw what El Salvador, Bukele did in El Salvador. He just said, you know what, we're going to go. We have to go sort of, fascist dictator on these people to clean it up. But he's shown that you can clean up a country and you can have peace. And then you experience this big boom of people moving there and tourism and a bunch of other things. Mexico's a big country, but also I think they have the ability to clean this up if they really wanted to. I just think the rot is so entrenched. It's hard to get it out there. Is there a chance that they could do something like El Salvador?
It would require an entirely new leadership because the Morena party is the ruling party. I mean, they have majorities, I believe, in both chambers. They recently have their judges are now elected, and so I don't know. I don't know. And you're correct in that. Yes, they have. I mean, it's a big country. They have a large economy. They obviously have a large military. But I mean, the problem is it's just plain old corruption.
Yeah.
Just in general, that can be separate from, dealings with the cartels. So, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know how to solve this because, obviously to Bukele's credit, but the country is much smaller and, MS-13 and the gang, they were more gang. It was more of a gang. Here in Mexico, they have basically paramilitary units.
It's way more developed.
I mean, they're using drones to bomb each other. In fact, there was a drone attack in Tijuana, which was the first time a drone attack was made right by the U.S. border. So there's just a lot of money involved, and obviously it's hard to root that out when money's at stake. Anything's possible for sure. It's just going to have to require such a drastic change that people are going to be okay with that. And I don't believe that Mexico is in that position, because I've seen a lot of supporters, on the left here in Mexico, dismissing the protest. They said that it was a failure. They said it was lightly attended, that, nothing is going to come of it. But as someone who was there, there was other marches across the country that also kind of turned violent, too. So it's a wait and see. And that's why this upcoming march later this week is going to be kind of another test of how much they can sustain that energy.
And you write in your tweet at Julio_Rosas11, anti-Sheinbaum crowd. Now, were these more right wing, more left wing? Is there even a right wing in Mexico, or is it just people that are generally being oppressed and they're all pissed off in their own way?
I mean, I would say that there would be more people on the right in a crowd like that, mm-hmm. but the organizers made it very clear that they are not part of any party. That they they were portraying themselves as just fed up Mexicans of all different stripes. I mean, I can even tell you that I saw someone wearing the trans rainbow flag there.
Wow.
Right? So obviously, I wouldn't say that that's a right wing person.
Right.
But so, again, because this affects a lot of people in the country. This issue. Yeah, I would say generally maybe it would be a little bit more right wing, but there were definitely people of all political stripes there.
And then how big was this march? And then how big was the crowd that actually started attacking the police? What were your estimates?
So the local media is reporting about the total march attendance was about 17,000 people.
Okay.
It was huge. It's kind of hard to tell how many people were. I mean, tens of thousands, because there were a lot of people in the main plaza, and they're just kind of rotating, going back and forth, because obviously people got injured, people got tear gas or OC sprayed, so then other people would come up to kind of replace them. So I mean, it was a big fight. I mean, this, like I said, I mean, just the number of rocks alone. I've been reviewing my footage that I got, and I like I said, it's quite crazy how close other pieces of that concrete came close to me during that time. And I you know, I don't know if it's illegal to have my military helmet that I use in the United States to cover protests. So there, you know, I was kind of out there a lot more exposed than I would like to be. But yeah, obviously it's important to kind of cover this stuff so that people in the United States can understand what's happening down here.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be that, you know, if the protests succeeded, if they breached the palace walls, like what would have happened? I mean, you're not going to end the drug war and the narco state overnight doing that. It's just, you're going to have something really drastic happen in order for that system to change. And do you think Trump's going down to Venezuela has anything to do with going after, you know, it seems like he's targeting the cartels in South America now, but do you think that's the first step into coming after the Mexican cartels?
It could be, right? Because I think maybe the risk calculus is that, you know, if we be more kinetic in our military actions to a country that's a little bit further away, but obviously still in our hemisphere, it could put Mexico on notice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And depending on how that turns out, the situation in Venezuela, and now potentially Colombia, because Colombia says they're going to come to Venezuela's aid. You know, let's say it's successful in kind of getting rid of that criminal element there. Trump can then turn the shine bomb and say, hey, either you do something drastic or we're going to repeat what we did in South America. So I think that's part of the, you know, I think that's part of the strategy for sure.
Hmm. And, you know, they just signed a law here. Part of the continuing resolution was in 1 year is going to be a hemp ban, and they're going to reclassify marijuana as a Schedule I drug. And I don't even know the statistics right now, but I know weed used to come from Mexico a lot, and now there's sort of a, you know, it's been growing in California and Colorado and Washington State for a long time. Is there still marijuana coming up from Mexico, or is it just tailored off and it's just methamphetamine and cocaine? I mean, what are the main drugs coming from Mexico at this point?
Yeah, so weed is no longer the cash crop it once was from Mexico. I would still say that the cartels are actually involved in the weed growing operations in the United States.
They don't have to get it over the border. They could just walk.
Right, exactly. I mean, California, I reported on this like all the way back in 2021, 2022. California was dealing with a lot of illegal grows with ties to the Mexican cartels and Chinese criminal syndicates. So the main drug of choice to be shipped up north is fentanyl. Fentanyl-laced hard narcotics, just because, I mean, just, if you just look at it, right, I mean, they can make so much more money, and it's so much easier to smuggle it, 100 pills of, 100 fentanyl pills through the border, as opposed to 80, 90 pounds of marijuana sacks.
Sure, yeah.
So because it's more powerful, it's more addictive, that's why they're able to make so much more money. And the sad thing is that during the Biden-Harris border crisis, it was actually more profitable to be involved in the human trafficking and human smuggling. That, you know, collectively, it's estimated that they were making millions of dollars, you know, prior to Biden, through that trade, to making billions of dollars, because now people wanted to be caught by Border Patrol because they'd be released into the United States. So so the cartels were able to take advantage of that. So, you know, unfortunately, they were no longer fighting over drug routes, but they were fighting over human trafficking routes. And it extended all the way to the most southern state in Mexico.
Wow. Okay. Well, man, that is a crazy weekend for you, being involved in all that. And you think there's another march at the end of the week? So you think fireworks are going to light up again?
You know, we'll see. Like I said, it's Revolution Day, so I think some people are going to be kind of be in the spirit of that of the country's history. Obviously, I'm not complaining because I love the food down here. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, like I said, it's just a sad situation to see overall, especially as someone who's been covering it for a number of years.
It definitely is. Give us a quick history lesson on Revolution Day. I'm not versed in Mexican history, but I do know what Dia de los Muertos is.
So Mexican Independence Day is in September. Okay. So that's kind of like the start of it, and then Revolution Day is kind of like the second holiday about that. I would say that, you know, their version of 4th of July is September 16th, September 15th, September 16th.
Okay.
Revolution Day is just kind of like a follow up to that, because obviously there's been multiple countries involved in not just us, not just Spain, but like France as well.
Right. So this is them kicking out Maximilian and all these people. Is that what was going on, or?
Yeah, right, exactly. So okay. there's been a lot of times where Mexicans have had to kind of rise up and overthrow or, you know, try to fight against a foreign country. We'll see what happens. I thought it was weird when I first saw it that it was on a Thursday, because typically most people are free on the weekends. But it's a national holiday on Thursday, so we'll see. It's just like voting; it all depends on turnout.
That's it. You're right. All right. Anything else you want to add? Where else can people find your information? We've been throwing your X account on there a lot at Julio underscore Rosas 11 at Julio underscore Rosas 11. Where else can people find your work?
Yeah, so they can be a subscriber on my Substack, mostlypeaceful.media. Thank you to CNN for that name. that's my primary, in addition to my ex, where people can go and support my work.
Perfect. All right, well, we need people out there getting the perspective that's not sanitized through mainstream media and where they can, you know, insert their talking points and whatnot. So we appreciate you being on the front lines. And stay safe out there. Watch out. I would at least be wearing a bike helmet, if nothing else, if you're out there.
I think I'm going to have to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. And then maybe a thick backpack or something. I don't know. That's a lot of rocks being thrown. And, you know, Fernando Valenzuela was a Mexican as well. He was a good pitcher. So Mexicans know how to throw a rock. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother. Well, you stay safe out there. Thanks for the update and amazing footage. I mean, really, almost medieval in terms of the scrum that was going on there. So, kudos to you for getting that type of footage. You know, I didn't see CNN there.
No, they tend to avoid that stuff. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, brother. Take care. All right, we got about a minute left before we get into the third hour, and I'm going to bring up definitely in the second half these TPUSA clips of people now looking into their finances and asking questions. You know, probably nobody would have asked any questions whoever they is shot Charlie Kirk in the neck. But here we are. So, I'll pick up a couple calls. I still got Brian and Timmy. You guys hang tight after the break. We got that first 5 minutes. I'll try to fit y'all both in there and then we'll, get on to the third hour. Thank you for watching the American Journal. One thing before we go to break, buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. It's available right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. Give them a try. If you subscribe, you get a 50% off. So that's an even better deal. And then if you use the app at alexjonesapp.com, you can get another discount. So use those discounts to your advantage, especially in these trying economic times as we try to right the ship here that is America. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you for watching, thealexjonesstore.com.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on infowarsstore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged infowarsstore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Kicking off the third hour of the American Journal. We've been going through your calls. We just had a boots on the ground report from Mexico. Some amazing footage from Julio Rosas. Be sure and check out, stay tuned to him. It looks like at the end of the week, there's going to be more. But let's go to Brian in Minnesota. Has some advice for Trump. Oh, thinks he should listen to InfoWars. Yeah, we wouldn't be in such a bad position if some people would listen to us. But go ahead, Brian.
We would be batting a 100% out of the park. And first of all, I'll just say, by the way, good morning. I just took my Methylene Blue, fantastic product.
All right.
But I know we don't have limited time, so I will, I'll just stick to my point is that at least, at the very least, watching the first hour, but he should watch it directly, not through a third party or, you know, I understand the White House watches it. But the whole problem is around people are not delivering him the information. And, you know, Alex has talked about that many times. If he would listen to about an hour a day of the Alex Jones Show, Alex goes through all the current events. He basically predicts, again, with a 90% batting average, like he says, exactly what's going to happen. You know, he called the Epstein thing way prior. He called COVID-1984 years, decades prior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think hopefully I made my point clear on that. If he did listen to Alex Jones every day directly, I think 90% of our problems would be resolved. In a year.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's not, he's definitely has some gatekeepers, but also I think another problem is the people who put him in office this time, or at least they think put him in office, these big donors, you know, they want to keep the status quo. So their job is to insert agents in there to help run out the clock. So he's definitely got nefarious people working for him. That happened last time. You know, he's like, oh, I'll work with the Republican Party. And it was, you know, people like, it was that congressman from Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, who was the first shark in the tank. And it just never got any better after that. It just seemed to just kind of plod along. And then they got him with scandal after scandal. He's kind of beaten all the scandals. They've kind of run out of scandals to run at him. And, so, you know, I'm hoping this Epstein thing comes out and they start perp walking people. Like I can't believe nobody's been perp walked yet. It's all been, hey, come to our office. We're going to arraign you and you know, play patty cake with you. But, you know, if you're Roger Stone, we're sending, you know, 50 FBI agents, including the aquatics unit. So, yeah, I don't agree with that. Thanks for your call, Brian. Let's go to Timmy in Arizona. Going back on the hemp, wagon. Go ahead, Timmy. Are you there? I hear, you might be trying to communicate with me, but it's in a language I don't understand. Timmy, are you there? Going once? Put him on hold. Maybe he's, no, he's there. You there?
I thought you were saying Timmy. I was playing shit out of my shoe.
It says Timmy.
You walk not,
are you not Timmy from Arizona?
Yeah, when you walk around in the desert in sneakers, you realize why cowboy boots were invented.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, so you had a scorpion in you. There's a snake in my boot. Go ahead, Timmy.
No, it was just shards of dog shit. Anyways, no. So I was just basically saying the potency differences. I made the analogy to moonshine. You know, if you understand the slippery slope of alcohol, that's one way of looking at it. But at the same time, I was somebody who could leave it. I could have a couple beers and eat a burger and go home. And then there's people who drink like gallons of moonshine. And you get two different animals. Both alcohol. So comparing dabs, edibles, distillates that have higher concentrations of herbicides because it's a distillate, it's a concentrate, is different, again, like you were saying, from the 3, 4, 6% mm-hmm. the hippies were smoking in the 60s. So, and there shouldn't be a ban because it's your body, your choice. If there's two standards, no sense in having any at all.
I'm with you on that. And yeah, it's a lot more stronger. I didn't even think of that. The herbicides and pesticides are more concentrated as a distillate. And that may be causing the problems in people. Maybe it's not the marijuana itself, the THC, but maybe it's the concentrations of herbicides and pesticides, especially if you're getting some guy was doing a report in Maine and they were finding these illegal Chinese grow houses. And they were using products that are illegal to even ship into the United States. You can't even use them here. They're so toxic. So who knows what people are getting in those, and is that being tested enough? We don't know. Thanks for the call, Timmy. Watch the landmines out there. We'll be right back going into the third hour of the American Journal. Stay tuned. I got some very interesting information coming up.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Watching the American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
So we were having a little conference during that one-minute break, and the clips we're going to play in the second half of this hour concerning TPUSA and their finances. I mean, it's shocking. And this is just information people are getting from their tax forms that they have to put out every year as these nonprofits do. They have to post all the different types of businesses they're in. And, you know, I've looked at nonprofits in the past and how they move money and how much people were making. And, some of that looks a little fudgy. This stuff looks crazy fudgy, but, we'll get to that in the second half of the hour. We're actually still compiling the clips. They're so amazing. But Rob was just telling me, he's like, I can't believe what I'm watching. I was the same way. I watched that over the weekend. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But we talked about this earlier. And if you go to independentnewsroom.com, Intel report, Thomas Crook's alleged social media dump. I think Brianna Morello runs this site, but we should actually put a link to this on InfoWars, and we should link over to her. Maybe, someone could let the writers know that, or they might be watching and they're doing it right now. So, independentnewsroom.com has got some of the, this is what his Snapchat avatar looked like, you know, classy guy. I remember showing that. Look, a little Snapchat guy. But, you know, they said he had no social media presence. That was coming from the FBI, the Biden FBI. But some of his quotes, I just want to read some of these just so people know this. This is, if you're saying Trump is a bad president, you aren't a patriot, as Trump is the literal definition of patriotism. So they don't have the date on there. Oh, that was July 20th, 2019. This is going to be blatantly racist, but I hope Trump has these people murdered. Talking about the squad, that was July 21st, 2019. I hope a quick, painful death to all the deplorable immigrants and anti-Trump congresswomen who don't deserve anything this country has given them. July 20th, 2019. Now, people have said stuff like this, like, you know, Ilhan Omar should be deported. She came here the wrong way. She brought her brother in. She committed immigration fraud. That's what people are saying. You know, she needs to be deported. I don't know of anybody out there saying these people need to be given the death penalty. But they're not here for our country. And so some of the stuff, and you're looking at this, you're like, wow, this is the guy who went after Trump? Huh. But then as you go further, here's an interesting one. With the way this country has been going, I think we need a dictator to get at least rid of the progressives and maybe then put the Hispanics back in their place. I mean, this guy was super right wing. So at some point, he got connected. Some guy started replying to his reports, Willie Tepes. And this is the clip from Tucker Carlson's 30-minute documentary that you should all go watch. This is the Willie Tepes section of, because nobody knows who Willie Tepes is. Probably a Fed, but, or a Fed adjacent person. We don't know. But that, it seems like all of a sudden it dries up, and then he doesn't have a social media presence anymore, except for a couple more little, anti-Trump. So he was pro-Trump, and then all of a sudden he goes a little bit anti-Trump, and then he just kind of disappears. So it's like, we've got him through our Discord servers. All right, let's go to that clip.
In response to the same video, Thomas Crooks issued what sounds a lot like a digital manifesto. Quote, "In my opinion, the only way to fight the government is with terrorism-style attacks. Sneak a bomb into an essential building and set it off before anyone sees you. Track down any important people or politicians, military leaders, etc., and try to assassinate them. Any sort of head-to-head fight is suicide, and even ambush or surprise attacks likely aren't going to end well." These remarks were especially notable because they came at the final phase of Crooks' YouTube commenting. At that point, a new character emerged into the conversation, a user named Willie Tepes, who started pressuring Crooks to commit violence. For example, quote, "If a gun and a badge is all that is needed, then authority obviously comes from the barrel of a gun. We have more guns than they do. There is no way we can avoid a war at this point, so you better just get used to the idea. We have nothing to lose and everything to win. And the alternative, a global police state, is unacceptable. Nothing in life is simple, but that is no argument against doing it." So who is this Willie Tepes? Unfortunately, we don't know. The FBI hasn't made any mention of him in public, although they certainly know he exists. Just days after the shooting, somebody screenshotted Tepes's YouTube account page, despite the fact he had very few followers. To the extent that he can be traced online now, you can find his username being used on a foreign Antifa website. Those sites link him to the Nordic Resistance Movement, which has been designated a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department. That's all we know. We do know, however, that Crooks' online footprint abruptly ends after his encounter with this mysterious figure, Willie Tepes. Regardless of whoever Willie Tepes is or was, and what his motives may have been, who he may have been working for, there is no doubt that Crooks was ripe for recruitment by someone.
And Tucker's not making any assertions. You know, to me, that screams with blaring red lights, Fed behavior right there. You know, you get a guy agreeing with you, and they're able to say these things online and nothing happens to him. And then he disappears. Well, they took their chat private. That's what happened. And I'm sure you'll find that he's on the phone with somebody during this time. Oh, but we don't know. They won't tell us. He also had these bombs in his car. You know, and this could have been a situation where they gave him bad bombs because where he was parked was near a gas main. You know, blow up the gas main, freak Trump out, get video of Trump cowering, you know, after the explosion, because that's what they wanted. You know, look at the coward. But instead, maybe the kid goes, you know what, I'm going to take him out. I'm going to go ahead and go after him, and climbs up there and, you know, had the shot, but couldn't make it work if that was the real shooter. He could have just been a decoy, too. Maybe the gun they gave him had blanks. Who knows? There's a lot of different ways. The one thing we do know is that we're not getting anything from the FBI. So we have to start drawing our own conclusions and do our own investigations, which they don't like. They don't want people doing their own investigations, yet they won't give us the information. And in that 30-minute documentary that Tucker put out, he plays a clip where Maria Bartiromo's interviewing Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, and it's the one where they look like deer in the headlights, and they're like, there's no there there. There's no there there. Well, there's a there there, bro. That's a there there. That is a there there. His online persona that you guys were saying didn't exist, or at least you didn't say it, but you guys never came back and said, oh, it's a little different. You know, there's a there there, and we know where the there there leads. The there there leads right up to the FBI. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't know nothing. We're stupid. We would tell you if we had anything. Don't you believe us? You know, we did believe you. Maybe that was our fault for believing there are people still with integrity out there that have the cojones to go up against the federal government, because there doesn't seem to be much of that. All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Lane in Seattle. We were just showing that Mexican footage. Let's talk about the Mexican Revolution. Is this the current revolution or a past revolution?
I saw the graffiti. I don't know Spanish. It said Punta Judea. What's that mean?
Punta, I think, means... I think it means C-U-N-T, I think. I think.
Well, isn't the Canadian guy the same? And poor old Donald was a Trojan horse for Judea.
Well, I think Scheinbaum, that seems like a very Judean name. If I was to, like, take a guess, that doesn't seem like a Mexican name.
My whole life, all the suffering I've seen and death have come from two entities. Big Pharma and the banks, okay? And guess who runs them? They're all connected to Judea, okay? I kept trying to tell Alex, it's not about a civil war. It's about a revolt. The only way to rid the corruption is through a revolt, okay? Off at their head. The litmus test is free speech number one. If you can't agree with that, off at their head. Free speech.
I like that. I'm down with free speech, 100%. That's why, yeah. Yep. 100% agree. We'll see what else you got?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen in Mexico. You got these people that are blowing off steam, but they're not. You're going to have to do something drastic to take down the cartel. That's entrenched. It's generational at this point. The people are used to living into it generationally. The corruption, I think, is gone. It's in every part of Mexico for some reason. They just can't decide to live. But, you know, you have corruption, and we have corruption here too, so we shouldn't be talking. We're not probably as openly corrupt, but there's definitely, what do they call it? People kicking the circle. I watched a little short documentary about just something going on in Blanco, Texas. People wanted to create a town in their little area. They had 200 people. They want to create a little, you know, create a little town entity. And the groups around there, the judge and the mayor and of these different entities were like, oh, no, you're not doing that. For some reason, they didn't want that. We didn't know why they didn't want that, but it came out, they didn't want it. They called it kicking the circle. There's a circle, the circle of trust, which is what our judges and police officers are all involved in, you know, and then break that circle of trust, and they don't like it. They don't like to see that circle broken. All right, I'll give you the last word, Lane. Go ahead.
It's the mobster mentality, you know? All these people are the same mobsters. Trump, the people he up against him, you expect them to act certain ways. They're mobsters, right? This is just what it is, and this is Thursday for Mexico. It might be a surprise.
Maybe so. Well, you know something I don't? You want to drop some breaking news or what?
No, just you know, been looking for something like this to happen for a long time. I'm full of rage and anger myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, you guys voted a socialist in for mayor. What do you think is going to happen in Seattle?
I've met her before when she was an activist for the Riders Transit Union. Well, I don't know. I don't have... Seattle was gone to shit in the first place. It can only look up. I mean, I used to live downtown. It's just gone totally to shit. And it's all, okay, don't forget the golden rule. We harvest the rich. Bill Gates was the richest man. His corruption, this is why Seattle's in this shit. This is why Big Pharma's in this shit, because it's all corrupted. These people are mobsters, okay? It's a socioeconomic disease for any one man to amass such wealth. And ever since COVID, this country's done nothing but produce billionaires. It's revolution.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate your call. You're Seattle. You dropped a little too many S-bombs right there, but I think we got them all. Yeah, we took care of that. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Lester in West Virginia and wants to talk about the hemp ban, how states will handle it. Hi, Lester.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going great, guys.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, man. Yeah, great. Broadcaster to broadcaster, man. I like what you're doing on the show.
No, thank you. Where do you broadcast? Hold on. Where do you broadcast out of, Lester?
I've been a broadcaster since 1992 when we actually had to have an FCC license.
Yeah.
You know, the little yellow card.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I'm out of West Virginia. You know, I used to work for Cumulus, but I went to a little smaller station.
Okay.
You know, a little local station now. Yeah.
Do y'all carry Alex Jones Show on your local station?
No, we don't. We should, though.
You know, guys, go to the website. It's on the top right. I think it's got affiliate. I think it's infowars.com/affiliates, and you can just download the shows. If you don't want to take it live, you could grab hours and just play it, you know, late at night when people, you know, maybe you might insert that in there, Lester, and become a programmer.
I've uploaded that across my program director. You know, I'm working with the PD. I'm just a music director, but
okay.
You know, I got a PD above me, so you know, we're a music station basically. But man, I love your show. I love everything you guys do on here, man.
Well, let me ask you this: are y'all playing AI music on your station?
No, huh?
Okay,
no, none, zero.
Interesting. All right.
We're going old Audio Vault. You know the program Audio Vault from back in the day.
Oh yeah,
still got it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. What part of West Virginia are you in? What near what big city?
Central.
Beckley. Okay. Beckley. Okay. Cool.
Beckley. Yeah.
I've been there. Part.
But as you know, yeah, West Virginia, we carry a cannabis license. You know, we can get. You know, it's a state funded program. You know, since Purdue came in and dropped out. You know, we won a lawsuit against Purdue Pharma, you know, over the opioid back in the day.
Yeah.
So what they is they put a lot of people into treatment here in West Virginia, and that's what that suit has done, put them into, like, Suboxone treatments and stuff like that. Well, in those places, they encourage you to get your medical marijuana card because of the damages that opioids has done to your body. So they think the medical marijuana can actually fix some of the damages that opioids has done to the body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the cannabis going to mean for the state? Does that mean that, you know, all licenses in a year just go down to garbage, or
Does
states still want to be able to do their thing?
I think it's going to mainly affect, so there's states that have laws, but some states are allowing people to grow it. But they're not because of the farm bill. So there's a farm bill in 2018 that kind of allowed the hemp industry to kind of flourish. But now that's not going to be in effect because you're going to have to meet these really hard statistical analyses of your product. It has to be, you know, less than 0.4% THC, which all products have a little bit of it. And it's all more than 0.4. So that's a way to get rid of the industry nationwide. So you got beverage companies who are making drinks and shipping them. You've got companies that are sending CBDs and selling them and the states don't have laws regulating it one way or another. So people are just going, it's kind of like a free for all. So what it's going to do, like your state, I think you're going to be fine. I think Colorado will be fine overall. New Mexico will probably be okay. California, you know, I think a lot of people are just going to say, well, it's just in the state. Which is going to kill a lot of people's business. So a lot of people have, you know, grown their businesses to kind of be on a national footprint. And now you're going to see that go away. But I do think this is a good time for the industry to get together and really take an honest assessment of their products and figure out a way to make them better and figure out a way to make them healthier and figure out a way to regulate themselves. And this is a good time to do that because you have a year. So that's quite a long time to come up with something on a national scale. But I think it can be done, and I think this is an industry that's got a lot of, it's sort of an outlaw type-ish industry, so it's got a lot of, like, you know, bootstrap Americans that are in it, and also, you know, foreigners, come in and take advantage of the system as well. So I think you're going to see it come to a solution, but it definitely needs to happen, and so they have no choice. Otherwise, you're going to kill, you know, probably half of their business. But I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, I appreciate the final word. Like I said, so it's not going to affect some of the state regulations. Like West Virginia, in my opinion, it all should be medical use only. And, you know, and I agree with that, what Alex says, you know, too much of this high-powered weed, you know, man, it could drive you into psychosis and stuff like that, make you crazy.
Yep.
But in medical doses and with the medical view, I think that, you know, it should be legalized across the board with the strict medical overview.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's a way to do it because states are doing it now. There's some states that are just medical. Some states are recreational and medical. And I think there's definitely a way to do it. And you just have to have to bring some integrity to the business because I think there's definitely some integrity that could be placed in the business. Let's just put it that way. People are trying to see the most explosive weed they can make. And that's not helping the situation. It's creating a bunch of, you know, drugged out zombies. But, you know, a toke and a walk, that can clear a lot of problems out of your system more than, you know, drinking a bunch of beer and getting wasted. So thanks for the call, Lester. Love your state. I went to college there. It's a great state. Let's take one more call. Who's been on the longest? Oh, let's go to Leslie. Is it Leslie? Oh, Chad. Chad down at the bottom. All right, let's go to Chad. I didn't see him down there. Go ahead, Chad. You're on the air from Minnesota.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Real quick, put you on the spot. I wanted to ask you about BCP-157.
BCP-157, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a user of it. I've used it.
Okay, yeah. I like the fact that you talk about solutions, you know, things that help people instead of, oh, where did it come from, right? Oh, where did this virus come from and this kind of stuff, right? The shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious. You said you had good luck with that.
Yeah, and I'll share two experiences. So I got it. I would say sometime in 2023, I bought a bunch. Because usually if I buy something, I'm like, I'm just going to try it. And if it doesn't work, well, you know, I'm out a few $100s, but at least I've tried it. And it immediately helped with the circulation in my legs. I'd have a problem where if I was sitting a while and I'd stand up, I literally had to like walk kind of, it was like I was walking through Jell-O for like 3 or 4 steps and then I could start walking normal. And I didn't like that. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm riding my bike. I'm doing all these things. And I started reading about, is it BCP or BPC 157? I'm not sure the exact BPC 157. And I was reading about this, how people were using it. And then I found a place that sold it. I bought some, tried it, and it immediately within, I would say by the second bottle, didn't have any problems. And I still don't have any problems to this day. I just got my second batch a while back because I'm like, you know what? It's maybe time to do it again. I think this stuff works. And I ended up giving a bottle to a friend of mine. And also he was having long COVID, but he did take 2, doses of the Pfizer vaccine. I said, try this, try some ivermectin, a couple other things, budesonide, because he's having trouble breathing. And he caught COVID like 4 or 5 times since he had the vaccine. And literally, he couldn't work longer than 4 hours where he worked. He couldn't sing at church. He called me up a couple weeks later. He's like, I can't believe it. I'm singing in church. I got energy. He's got a new job. I mean, he's literally like done a 180 and flourishing. And I think a lot of it is the BPC 157. I think that's like that was the missing ingredient for me to like totally pull me back over the edge. So I think it works great. I don't sell it. I don't make any money marketing it. It's just that's my, testimonial though for people out there thinking about getting on it. And I've told a couple other people about it too. I'm not going to name their names, but they are also getting on it as well. So yeah.
Yeah, it's the world we live in with disclaimer. We have to do it. Isn't that crazy?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not making medical advice. Yeah, there's my disclaimer. You're right. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, it is. It is a shame that we're not allowed to. And cytosine is taboo, too. Oh, you're going to tell people what they need to put in their body? No, I'm telling you what worked for me. And if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. All right, we got a few more callers we'll get to in the last segment. Chad, thanks for calling from Minnesota. Did you have anything? You know what? I'll hold you over. I think you had some other stuff you wanted to add to it. Because, yeah, we got a lot of problems. But, yeah, that was BPC 157. Definitely works for me. May work for you. I don't know. Methylene blue works, too.
The incredibly positive health effects of methylene blue are well documented. RFK Jr. has promoted it. He takes it daily. But I got to tell you, I had taken it 7 years ago. My medical doctor recommended it. He said, just get a USP brand that means medical grade. And I bought it on Amazon. Had almost no effect. But when our sponsor, Bigly, at theoxygenstore.com, came out with theirs 8 months ago, made in Florida by a literal laboratory, it blew me away and changed my life. The clarity, the focus, the energy with no letdown has been insane. And in the last 8 months, you've seen everybody from Roseanne Barr to you name it, take the product and just have absolutely insane clarity and energy effects generally in about 30 minutes. That's incredible. But everybody that I know that's taken it, that I've checked back with, has long-term effects in the first few weeks and months that just build up. Better workouts, better clarity, better sleep, better focus. It's simply insane. Experience what Patrick Byrne experienced. Experience what Stuart Rhodes experienced. Experience what all these other individuals experienced when they took this incredible product in capsules and the liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And then when you experience it, tell your friends and family about it and tell them about the broadcast so they don't just get this great product and the great effects, they also find the truth. This is a 360 win for everyone.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Feels pretty good.
That is what it feels like. My brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
Yeah!
You better start drinking that methylene blue, son.
But it's not just our in-studio guests that have taken it and been blown away, all of them. It's the callers. It's the listeners. It's a mailman from Rhode Island. Here's just a small sampling of the testimonials of our callers and listeners when they took Ultramethylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew, and everybody has really noticed the effect.
I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it.
This is the best product you guys have ever had.
I feel like I'm 25.
Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
We only sell supplements that are documented to absolutely blow people away because we want you to have a great effect so you come back and get it again and again. And it's so good for you. So experience what our guests, our families, our friends have experienced themselves by getting Ultramethylene Blue in capsules and in tincture discounted right now at theoxygenstore.com. Take action, defend the Republic, defend the First Amendment, defend the info war, and empower your body, empower your health, and empower your life.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Final segment of the American Journal coming up next will be the Alex Jones Show until 3 p.m. and then the American Journal. No, I'm sorry, the War Room from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. I'm on the American Journal right now. 2 days in a row, even though I got a weekend in between, but it's still, it's, you know, being on point in the morning is kind of hard for me. And let me tell you what I did when I got up this morning. I took a probiotic and I took a methylene blue pill and I made my morning drink. Keep me Hydrated, which has salt and coconut water and kombucha and sparkling water. And I put a little bit of, which we don't have till the end of November, but methylene red. We had some sitting here, so I dumped some in there to mix with the methylene blue. My mind feels great. I don't feel tired. I mean, there are times I've done the American Journal, I've felt tired, but the methylene blue, boom, I was up and going. And unfortunately, you can't get the buy one, get one free of methylene blue. You can get it 50% off if you subscribe at thealexjonesstore.com. But for right now, for a limited time, CMOS gummies, buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com. That is CMOS gummies. Take it, take a chance on it, try them out, see how they work for you. CMOS helps with your immune system, it's a natural energy boost, digestion aid, helps detox, helps your joints, promotes good skin and hair. And right now, it ends on November 17th at midnight. So that's tonight. Oh, my goodness. So you got to act now. Act now. You're listening to the show. Open up a browser window that says thealexjonesstore.com. Go there. Get your CMOS gummies. Buy one. Get one free. The sale ends tonight. Although sometimes you get an extra day, but don't wait. Don't wait for that extra day because you might not get it. And if you subscribe to the CMOS gummies, you get it for 50% off. That's a little pro tip there. Want another pro tip? Go to alexjonesapp.com, buy it from the app, and you get it at even a bigger discount. So there you go. I've given you all the information. Let's go back to Chad, Minnesota. Wants to talk about Mark Mitchell's Rasmussen plan. We got off sidetracked on peptides in the last segment. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, yeah, sorry to throw that on you, but I always appreciate solutions, and I've had similar with circulation. And I have an outfit that's out of state, close, but out of state, that is testing that specific peptide for inner IV usage. So
oh, yeah.
Actually be treating with it.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, man, let us know how it works. You can hit me up on X and let me know how it works. I'm definitely a big fan of it. It's a nasal. You shoot it up your nose and breathe it in. And, but yeah, there's definitely, I think it's sort of, they call it experimental. Like they don't even sell you. There's a lot of regulations to it right now because it is experimental, but you know, a lot of MMA people use it. Yeah.
That's what this outfit is going through, is that process and testing and making sure that they can utilize it and it actually is effective. And I've had whatever since summer of 2022, I've had that circulation issue. I picked up something. I didn't test for anything. It just was,
yeah,
pretty nasty, and I haven't been the same since. But methylene blue, and I'm waiting for methylene red as well. So
yeah, I did the methylene red about start of hour two. I started dropping it in the drink and drinking it, and I don't know how many. I think it says you take 4 droppers full. I think that's what I did in there. So that's going to ride me for the rest of the day. But, yeah, our products are amazing. They really are. People, you know, what's even more amazing is people call up and before they get to the thing they want to talk about, they want to talk about the product. So I appreciate you, doing the plug, but let's get to Mark Mitchell's, I think he had a really good plan. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I remember reading that going, it was basically, you got 1 year to turn this around essentially.
Yeah. I'll try to summarize it, but it's along the lines of the circle being kicked by the 1% for how long?
Yeah.
We, the people, right? Everything that we try to do, we get that circle, that entire circle, and there's many circles within those circles. It just gets kicked mm-hmm. all the time. And I think what I've been hearing, and it's in the beginning of the take, if people want to play it, it's from last Wednesday on Alex's show. And he summarized Alex asked him a plan for the president. And, you know, just to kind of get himself out of the current situation and also into the future. And Mark summarizes, I think, a lot of what it teeters on idealism and pragmatism. And I think as the government and what we're dealing with and all of the abuse, everything, the bureaucrats, I think we need more idealism and then we can get to pragmatism, because idealism will get us to those places. You know, I feel like we've been the National Security Act of 1947. That was kind of like the last, they put us under the thumb at that point, because that created the CIA, that put the Department of War or Department of Defense together with the military. and then we have intelligence, and now we're all compartmentalized, and we don't get access to that because that's a matter of national security.
Right.
And I feel like what Mark was talking about and is what he had said is, you know, just it's going to be like the Manhattan Project, which a lot of people will just be turned away from that. But, you know, for the Republicans to win next fall, you got to lay out a contract for America.
Yeah.
Focus on brutal, you know, accountability and economic populism and basically undoing the oligarchy.
Yeah. I mean, we're really happy you're stopping these wars, but also, you know, gasoline's still the same price as it was last year, you know, and we're producing more of it now. So I don't know how that happens.
His input is not only right now, he knows pie in the sky. Okay, but let's get it started.
Yeah.
Let's get out ahead of it because they're always out ahead of us because they have all the intelligence.
Right.
They have all the money. They have all the think tanks. Let's design our own. And then move away from the old system. And it's always that, ah, good luck with that because it's Republican and Democrats and then independents.
Yep,
well,
yep.
Somebody needs to do it and have it defunded. So I think everybody should watch that. It's like a 2-minute clip. It's
yeah. If you guys can find it from last week with Mark Mitchell, if y'all can find it, we'll play it. If not, you have to go dig it out of, either Bandai Video or, Alex's X account at Real Alex Jones. Thanks for the call, Chad. I have three more callers and we'll get to you in this break. I want to play some of this stuff here. So this first video is from Project Constitution. And guys, this would be clip 19. Yep. The missing millions. This is kind of a breakdown. And I think we have two different people are looking at the 990s, which, if you're a nonprofit organization, you have to fill these out every year and put your stuff online so people can look at it because the government's not letting you pay taxes. And in order for you, you know, not to have to pay taxes, you have to put your books out there to show you're clean. So it's like a quid pro quo. You don't pay taxes, but you also show that you're not doing anything nefarious with your money. Well, people are starting to look at TPUSA because they're like, you know, this is weird. And in fact, it was Tyler, I think his name was Tyler Boyer. Tyler Boyer was telling people, well, go look at our filings. Well, so people went and looked at the filings and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. And so here is that, here's the Project Constitution video. We may stop this a couple times because it's kind of long and we'll kind of recap it as we go, but, it's very interesting breakdown. Here it is.
Let's go look at the 990 forms that Turning Point USA submits to the IRS every year. These contain their annual financial statements. When you look at the forms, there are some very strange anomalies. Several of the 990 forms are missing. Turning Point USA lists four related entities. There's Turning Point USA, Turning Point Endowment, Turning Point Action, and America's Turning Point. All different organizations do slightly different things. The Form 990 for fiscal year 2024 is posted for Turning Point USA, but it is missing for all the other three organizations. It looks like it was never turned in. This is a massive red flag. So Tyler Boyer is being snarky on X.com and telling people to go look at the annual financial audit, but the financial audit is missing from last year for three of the four organizations. Just to show you how strange this is, if we go back 2 years to fiscal year 2023, where we have all the financial statements, we can see that in fiscal year 2023, all four statements were filed on the same day on 5/15/2024. That is what normally happens. On May 15th, Turning Point would file all four financial statements for their organizations. But for fiscal year 2024, only one financial statement was filed for Turning Point USA on 5/15/2025. The other three are missing. This strange decision to hide their financial statements happened 4 months before Charlie Kirk was murdered. I will repeat for clarity. Someone at Turning Point decided not to file three of the four of their annual financial statements 4 months before Charlie Kirk appointed a new COO, requested a new audit, and was murdered. Those three financial statements are still missing. Let me give you just one example of why this is problematic. Let us look at the one financial statement we do have for fiscal year 2024 for Turning Point USA. Schedule I shows grants and other assistance to organizations, governments, and individuals in the United States. This schedule shows you where Turning Point is sending its money. We see that a lot of money, $8,560,625, is being sent to America's Turning Point. They are sending it to their own shell company. Now, this is not necessarily illegal, except for the fact that the financial statement for the other organization is missing. We cannot see how this $8.6 million is being spent. This is very important because there are strange variances around this money. I have pulled the last 5 years of 990 forms for Turning Point USA. Here is a table with contributions compared with the largest expense, which are the grants from Schedule I. You can immediately see a strange dip between 2022 and 2023. This dip happens because in prior years, they were sending money to Turning Point Endowment. They were transferring millions of dollars. This stopped in 2021, and they started ramping up sending money to America's Turning Point. Let's break this down. First of all, I find it really unethical that they were sending millions of dollars to their own endowment. I know that a lot of nonprofits do this, but I think it is unethical. Do the donors know this is how Turning Point is spending their money? Turning Point USA is taking in donations and then sending the money to their endowment to invest in the stock market. In my opinion, they should be spending donations on operating their nonprofit, not on buying investments. As of fiscal year 2023, they had $61 million of assets in the endowment, which was generating $1.9 million a year of investment income. Personally, I think that's an unethical way to run a nonprofit, but that's just my opinion. But what is important here is what happened to the missing $8.6 million, the amount sent to America's Turning Point in fiscal year 2024. The amount of money sent to America's Turning Point was getting larger and larger, and because the financial statements are missing, we cannot tell how this money was spent. If we look at the prior year, the majority of the money was spent on other salaries and wages. How is this possible when America's Turning Point reports zero employees? Does anyone else think that sounds a little suspicious? Let me walk you through this. We have the two organizations, the main company Turning Point USA and America's Turning Point. America's Turning Point has never reported any employees. Turning Point USA's number of employees has decreased dramatically over the last 3 years. In the last year alone, the number of employees decreased by 33%. That is a massive decrease in workforce. But while they are laying people off, their salary expense is skyrocketing for both organizations. None of this makes any sense. How is America's Turning Point reporting millions of dollars of salary expense when they have no employees? How is Turning Point USA's salary expense skyrocketing when the number of employees is plummeting? And why are the financial statements missing? What was the $8.6 million spent on?
You get the idea. Pretty interesting report there, just looking at the financials in terms of, you know, who's getting paid. Well, I could tell you one person that was getting paid that money. Actually, two people that were getting paid from America's Turning Point were Tyler, how do you say his last name? Bowen? Boyer. Tyler Boyer was getting paid from America's Turning Point, and so was Charlie Kirk. Now we're going to go to this is DD Got a Podcast. This is on YouTube. This had, 200,000 views 4 days ago. It's been up for 4 days. It's 200,000 views, and he interviewed a guy named Brian, who was also auditing TPUSA's reports. This guy's a financial analyst, though. He goes through his background. He didn't show his credentials, but he seemed to know what he was talking about. I watched the whole report. They're actually a little critical of InfoWars a couple times. He makes some snarky comments about InfoWars, which I don't appreciate. We're out here doing the best we can with, being under constant attack. But hey, I like some of the information you put out, so I'm going to play a little bit of this clip. This is talking about how the nonprofits are, nobody's logging hours in some of these other companies, but they're still getting paid. And you can see they're paying Charlie Kirk, like they took his salary and split it into four parts 1 year, and he got paid equal amounts from each of these companies, which is it's a little weird to do that, but maybe that's what they were doing so they wouldn't show, you know, that he was making $1.6 million a year, which, you know, the guy's out there working his butt off, so I can't say, you know, what his worth was. He's bringing in money, so obviously you're going to reward him for that, but it's very interesting. And then he puts out the memo, we're going to do a Doge style audit of TPUSA, and this is, you know, and then he gets his neck blown out. So here's that first clip.
What caught my attention? I thought it was only Turning Point USA because that's all we hear about.
Yep.
But as you start digging into the IRS files, you find out there's three more nonprofits. There's Turning Point Action. There's America's Turning Point. And then there's Turning Point Endowment. So whenever you hear endowment, that's like managing the investments. So they'll take cash, they'll buy stocks, they'll buy securities, and it'll just sit in this endowment fund. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. I'm not sure why Turning Point needs four of these. And then what caught my eye is I hope when I go and look at this, I don't see Charlie Kirk giving himself a salary in all four. Because to me, he should be getting a salary in TPUSA, and in the other three, it should be zero because he's not logging any work hours. Turning Point Endowment, like I said, literally by their own words, manage the endowment. Charlie Kirk's not a financial advisor, last I checked. And what he ended up doing was it seems like he wanted $1.6 million a year. So he divided it by four, and then each of the nonprofits he gets.
Like $400,000 or something.
Right. That, and then same with Tyler Boyer. He would get maybe $300 on all four. So that really caught my attention. I was like, wow, this seems like a real shady way to make their salaries appear less egregious. Let me give an example, Didi. If on TPUSA, Charlie Kirk's salary was $1.6 million, that would catch attention. Remember, because they were, quote, audited, an auditor would catch that. But if it's $400,000, that's a little more reasonable.
But why would people care if you split that up into four, but it still shows up? Even if it don't show up as one big lump sum, you're still paying the same amount of taxes, correct?
No, they care, I'm saying, optically, because no one's going to look at these other three nonprofits.
Okay.
So you get what I'm saying? If you're going to look at just Turning Point, because no one even knows these other three nonprofits exist. So this hides, like I said, optically, it makes it feel like, oh, Charlie's salary isn't that outrageous. It's $400,000. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that to me is the only reason why I could think of, because why would he need four salaries from three companies that he doesn't do anything for?
And there's a screenshot that I took of that you can't really see, but if you scroll to about 2 hours into that, or an hour and 50 minutes into there, they go through it. It kind of looks like this, and you can see that there's 2019, there's four different companies, and they're all paying him the exact same amount, $329,000. And then in 2020, he's being paid by three different companies, all the same amount. And then 2021, it's three different companies. 2022, it's three different companies. So they kind of split it up into exact amounts, which is a little interesting. And then we saw the other clip where they're actually, they're sending money to TP Action. It's paying salaries, but there's no employees listed there. So this is obviously where the money's going to. It's going to these higher ups in the organization. And like I said, you know, there's none of this is technically illegal. Some say it's unethical for them to be funding an endowment to, you know, but you could say, well, we want to continue into perpetuity, and that's a way to kind of offset down years or something, is to, you know, pull money from the endowment or to keep it going or to fund something else in the future. But one thing's for certain, there's some interestingness going on. You should watch that whole 2 hour presentation because it's very interesting and it gets a lot deeper. We don't have much time, and I do want to get to the last three callers. George in California, you're up. You've got the translation. Go for it.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good.
Puta means a bitch.
Yeah, that's what I said.
In English, yeah. No, because you said...
I know what I said. They mean same thing. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Hey, man, your methane blue, bro, been helping me lose weight. Last year, I was 498.
Damn.
This year, yeah, bro, a lot, bro. This year, I'm 381.
Wow.
And, yeah, bro, so.
How long you been on the methylene blue?
For almost a year. Like a year.
So, for 1 year, you've been taking it, and you've lost almost 100 pounds.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've lost about 10 pounds. I'm down to 215.
Oh, wow.
I'm down to 215. I was up to... 220, 225. I think it was 225 is the last time I weighed. Then I went and weighed myself the other day. I'm like, oh, 215. Yeah. And I take one pill every other day.
Yeah. And I also take your X Shield. as well. So
oh, yeah.
That's been helping me, too, if, you know, for the metabolism.
Right, right.
Yeah, man.
Well, right on, brother. Hey, I would love to talk with you more, but I want to get to these two other callers. Thanks for the plug. Appreciate
you.
Hope everything's going well. Keep us in touch with your weight loss journey. That's great news, man. Good job.
All right.
Yep. Let's go to Bam Bam from Florida. Let's talk about Islamists in New York. I didn't get to my Islamist clips, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Hello, Rob. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay. So I just want to thank you guys a lot for the Methylene Blue, Trilogy, and other products. They're fantastic.
I agree. They're fantastic.
And also, I want to say that I am very proud of you guys, including my family and friends, that you guys continue to keep on fighting for the real American people. You guys are amazing. It's a shame what happened last week with Onion. And I know you guys will continue fighting, and we will continue to fight along with you, no matter what.
Right on. Appreciate that. I appreciate your call. We are not going to stop. If we're out of this building at some point, we will pick up just like we never left off. And just follow Alex at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. Also, you can follow me at Dews News, DewsNewz. And we'll be putting out all the information there. Last caller, we're going to go to Leslie. Wants to talk, I guess your tail gunner's talking about CERN. We're making the full circle. We've gone the full circle. We started off with CERN and now we're back at CERN. Go ahead, Leslie.
Well, CERN being a circle, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Totally.
Well, okay. So what I didn't get to the last time that we were talking about is that CERN is directly involved with the human consciousness pool on this planet. You see, I'm actually the chief adept of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And as such, I've been trained in some magical knowledge that most people don't have. And what it's led me to understand is that quantum physics is the ultimate expression, not only of science, but also of magic. You see, Egyptians considered magic and science to be the same discipline. That's why we have chemistry coming from alchemy, and astrology giving birth to astronomy. Well, in quantum physics, because once something has been in contact with another thing, it is always in contact. That is actually a law of spellcasting. It's called the law of contagion. Sir James Frazer studied this ad nauseum in the 12 volumes of The Golden Bough, an anthropological discipline, right? The anthropologists have always been studying magic. And the reason why is that these ancient magics from Babylon are exactly what's being used to control the consciousness of the planet today. The same bloodlines that were in control 6,000 years ago are in control now. This is why we have these overturnings, so they can destroy all the knowledge that we plebeians have collected thus far, and they make us start over with figuring out what the game is. If we could just be calm and understand that magic and science are actually very much the same, use very much the same techniques, and come up with a lot of the same results. Although the technologies look different, they yield the same results.
All right, I got to cut you off there. We got 10 seconds left. That's very interesting, I'll tell you that. It does bring us full circle. Obviously, the Mexicans weren't calm this week. They were ramming into people and fighting each other. But, you know, yeah, I agree. We do need to stop fighting each other.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the Info.